The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
The show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain, contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace.
Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and it's Jets week. It's always fun to get ready for the Jets, regardless of the standings and what it means in terms of playoffs. You know, Rex Ryan has always said that, you know, this game is special to him. And, you know, he's kind of tampered down his talk about not being here to kiss Belichick's ring, saying that Belichick is undeniably one of the greatest coaches in the league and so on and so forth. But he says that, you know, he always gets excited about playing the Patriots and, you know, he's going to give it his best. And team, some of the players in the Jets have said that they can feel the intensity. So that's good. But we're also going to talk about this win against, who'd they play this week? I forget.
Miami. I'm glad it was really important to you.
I think it was a good win. Miami obviously came to play, although like we sort of suspected, they got beat down a little bit by the second half. And I think the Patriots were their own worst enemy in the first half.
That's what I think. It's you played like poo and you blew a team out. I think that tells you that you're a pretty good football team.
Yeah. So we'll talk about all that. Andy's here. Paul's here. Where's Eric? He's not. No.
Will Tuesday. Not be by all later.
Right. All right. And what
we
else?
We should let listeners know, just a little behind the scenes, that I have already called you an idiot off the air because we were having an MVP argument about who is going to win the MVP, who the candidates are, and you think essentially it should be the best player on the best team. Basically, the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Do we really want to have an MVP discussion?
No, I'm just, who called you? Just so you know.
Who called who an idiot?
I called him an idiot.
He said he called me an idiot.
Because I think he and Jerry Callahan should sit in a room with their stupid rules for all their various lists and halls of fame and all that and you know, shoot people down based on whatever criteria they have in their rock heads.
See, but some of it is what I like about it. It's open to the interpretation. I don't think it should have a rule. I don't think there should be a steadfast.
It's better than the comeback player argument, which goes down the road.
I just don't know what that is.
Isn't that Gronk?
I don't know.
Like, I think Gronk should be a layup for that, and yet I don't see anybody listing him for it. A few weeks ago, I saw a bunch of Mark Sanchez's.
Yeah, no, he could have been, but he's not. Gronk is a candidate for comeback.
I think Gronk should win it.
Why not?
I didn't say he shouldn't. Yeah. I just don't know what the comeback player is. But he just rattled off two guys, one of which is not getting any consideration at all that we all think should, and another one who's getting consideration who came back from nothing.
Well, he came back from not playing.
Okay. So what is it? Gronk missed a bunch of games. He came back from an injury.
I think it should be injury.
Why isn't he the...
I think injury should be a factor. I don't like the comeback from sucking. You sucked and now you don't suck anymore.
And I guess Sanchez came back from an injury too, because he didn't play last year,
right?
So I guess he came back from an injury too, but he sucks.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just sucking. Like, if he played all last year and sucked and then played well this year, that's not a comeback.
But some people do.
But that's a lot of people do that.
Yeah, but it can't. You have to have missed time for one reason or another and then come back.
But that's some people's interpretation. Other people's is, you know, he had a really bad year and he bounced back and had a great year.
But then what about Wes Welker? Who got injured in the last game of the season, basically missed nothing.
No comeback.
Yet he came back from an injury that used to end careers.
Yeah, but he didn't miss time, really.
It's a great award. Yeah. It's both the greatest and the worst award there is.
You know it when you see it.
No, I don't think.
I see it. I don't.
I don't think we all do.
I think that's true of the MVP.
We have so much to talk about. Do we really want to talk about awards?
The Patriots,
I think the MVP is hot right now.
I think they have two MVP candidates in Brady and why are you flapping your wings?
I think the MVP is very hot right now.
And I think it's Patriots.
You know,
I
mean, if Rodgers had a bad game in Buffalo, that sort of brought him back to the pack. Everybody thought heading into last week that it was a done deal.
He was the
runaway. Now I think it's a little bit closer. So I think the MVP is a little hot.
Yeah, I think Gronk needs a surge here. He probably needs like 3 or 4 touchdowns and a couple 100-yard games over the next couple weeks.
I don't think he's got a shot at all. I think he could do everything you just said and not make the top five.
I didn't say he shouldn't.
I'm going
to give it to a quarterback.
I didn't say he shouldn't, but like J.J. Watt, he won't.
As much as I love Brady, I don't think he's as strong a candidate as he's been in the past.
I wouldn't think he is either. But I also think it's an interesting year that
it's interesting you say that. Unlike a lot of people who seem to ignore the month of September, you have to count
it. Well, that's the thing, and I also count first halves in Indy. I count first half.
Fred's a little pissed at Brady for his first halves.
No,
but
a lot of sighs from Fred
the
other day.
I think the defense is really, a huge reason why this team is where it is right now.
Yeah, we've actually talked about a bit for the show or something where we have Kevin tape you during the game, the various grunts, groans, sighs, and then play it as like a culmination.
That would be good. Or
even have like an audible dictionary like, this came after Gronk touchdown. This came after Brady sack.
Right.
This came after Jonas Gray didn't make the right cut.
We have no idea why he's doing it this
time. This one was out of nowhere.
There was one of those the other day. The Jonas Gray, LeGarrette Blount didn't make the right cut as always. the Brady throw into the ground, or the Brady overthrow of an open bomb is a...
But I think it would be a funny bit.
The questionable call. They're going to call that?
I think you know when you're doing
it
sometimes.
Trust me, if I wasn't in a press box, it would be worse.
I don't think you always know you're doing it, though. I think sometimes you know, and I think others just come out.
And you always have your headphone in because you have your TV out, and I think it comes out louder than you think.
Right.
Yes. And me and Andy just laugh.
And that allows us to make fun of you knowing you can't hear us because you got your headphones in.
I admit, I'm probably quite the sight.
But there was definitely one the other day that was inexplicable. Both Paul and I were like, what the hell?
It was like 38-13. And
it could have been something they were saying on TV. Because I remember at one point.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense. Because we literally had no idea what
I forget
you could
what
possibly
it was,
have been upset with.
Somebody said something on TV that I was like, what are you talking about?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You should
add that to your repertoire.
That would be good.
What are you talking about?
That would be funny. Because I am as animated as I can be in the press box.
That's funny.
Without violating the rules.
What are you talking about is how I react to some of Bill Belichick's conference calls like yesterday.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the Brady run, obviously, and Bill has no problem with it. He doesn't second guess any of his players when they make decisions in the heat of the game because they're trying to win just like everybody else.
Yeah.
That was the worst answer I've ever heard him say.
Well, you know that.
It was bad.
Yeah, when Patrick Chung ran the fake punt years ago and I'm sure that was talked about, even though Patrick thought he was doing what was in the best interest of the team winning.
Every time Bill's ever uttered the phrase, that's not what we're looking for, there's a coaching point.
Right.
Plays are coaching points in games. Guys think they may be doing the right thing. That's why you make a lot of money to tell them that wasn't the right thing. And Tom Brady did not do the right thing. The run was fine. The decision, because he was, quote, pissed off to put the entire organization's immediate future up at risk and take on a guy.
Like you said, he was actually bigger than I thought he was.
But, go out of bounds, slide. You should never, unless you're going to pull the Elway because it's the Super Bowl and you're going airborne trying to get the pylon, get the hell out of bounds. You were 6 yards past the first down marker at that point, I believe.
Oh, yeah. he got inside the five and thought he had a chance to get in. Then he realized that the last second he didn't have a chance to get in. It was too late to slide.
And dive the bleep out of bounds.
Right. It was too late to slide, and he got caught in no man's land.
But that's one of those, like, some guys I would criticize. If Patrick Pass does it and ends up flailing out of bounds to get the hell out of the way, I mock him.
Right.
If Tom Brady does it, I say,
no one.
Good call, Tom.
No one would have thought any less of
you live
of
to
Tom
fight another if, day. Because everything goes down the crapper. Because he's pissed off. Because he wants to hit somebody. Because he thinks, and you know, I like Ryan Wendell, and he said, you know, he always knows what he's doing. He led with the left shoulder. Doesn't matter. He could have been injured on that play.
Yeah, as if you separate your left shoulder, it's
right.
No. Oh, okay.
Or you break your left collarbone.
Right.
Like, that was a bad, bad play. He knew it. That's why he said in his post game, you know, probably tomorrow I'll get a talking to for that. And yet Bill says I would never second guess a player.
Right.
Really, Bill?
On air.
You never second.
Exactly.
No. But you can say.
He does.
It was a Brady rule.
Don't,
no, you know what it was? It was the Brady rules.
He second-guessed
it was
him.
The
he
Brady
just doesn't
rules.
Do it on the radio.
It was the Brady rules. He would have second-guessed other players. He would have said, you know, we might have a talk with him about that. You know, I know in the heat of the moment, but to say I never second-guess a guy, that was a Brady rule. He was saying that because Tom Brady. Because he's the greatest guy ever.
Literally. You know what? He was just being difficult with the media. That's all.
Well, no, he wasn't being difficult. It wasn't like it was short. It was a long-winded dumb answer. He kept going and going and going, saying he wouldn't second-guess anybody.
Isn't this the same as Darrell Revis can show up late for practice and play and Jonas Gray can't?
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't involve
Brady.
Me having to
You have
to
no
list.
Problem with when there's a difference between Revis and Gray.
I think you're making too much of this.
No. I would have been fine if he had said, you know what? Tom's played 15 years. Tom's played a lot
but
of football.
But he's not going to say that publicly. He didn't say that publicly with Revis either.
I just don't like the fact that he just flat-out blatantly lied to me.
Well, okay. Now you decided to get upset about that?
Well, he said, I don't second-guess my players. Every coach second-guesses his players.
14 years
it's called coaching. Like, would he not second-guess Jay Cutler the 800 times a game he makes a bad decision trying to win?
I think we all agree with you, but I don't think we care as much as you do.
I don't know why it bothered me yesterday.
I agree with your point. I absolutely agree with your point.
I don't know why it bothered me yesterday. And I think I would have been okay had it been a short, I never second-guess my players, and just move on. But to go on, and they're trying to win.
The longer the answer, the more the filibuster. I mean, that's generally your rule of thumb.
True. There's a difference between filibustering and just flat out
calling
me an a-hole.
You mentioned, though,
listening.
Someone else in that rant that we should probably talk about, Jonas Gray, who, you know.
I think he hears Jonas Gray where Jonas Gray isn't brought up.
Well, Paul mentioned him. Why does Jonas Gray get to have to sit in Darrell Revis? He showed up a little bit more than he has since Indy.
A lot more.
And I think he did well.
Ran very well.
I was very pleased with him. Jonas and I also thank everyone who sent in those nice tweets.
Jonas and I.
You know.
No, he ran very well. Blunt did not run very well. Blunt was having a bad day. He was having, as we talked about postgame, he has the Barry Sanders running style where it can be 2 yards, 2 yards, 30 yards, except he never had the 30 yards. He only had the 2 yards, the 2 yards.
He needs that little head start, Blunt does. And once he gets going, he's tough to bring
down. He breaks more tackles. Yeah. He has more big plays. But your boy was the better running back on the field Sunday against the Dolphins.
Good.
You okay with that?
I am. And, you know, I'm hoping that we'll see more. Now,
how long will it take there to be a yeah, but in this conversation? I got 12:44.
Well, I have no yeah buts.
My problem.
No, not from you.
Oh.
From us. From our side.
No, but
you
my
know, like yeah, but when it was 38-13.
Is it not okay to say he was better on Sunday, but Blunt is still as good or a better running back?
Sure.
Because that's how I feel.
Oh, I haven't changed.
Because I just answered an SPFW where I've always thought that Gray's a better running back. Well, that's ridiculous. LeGarrette Blunt has done more in the National Football League and more for the New England Patriots than Jonas Gray has a chance to do ever, you know, in the next few months.
In a few months, yeah.
He's 1,000-yard back. He had, what, 8 touchdowns in a 3-week span last year. He has 200-yard games. He has big plays. He has.
To me, regardless who you think is better, I just think that I want Gray to have some more carries. And
I agree with you, on that.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, yesterday, I mean, Sunday was the perfect example. If Blunt's not running well, you have a guy to turn to. Try something different. I don't necessarily want it if Blunt's running well. Just like if Gray's running well, okay, let's stick with Gray for a little bit here. But if Gray is now struggling, go back to Blunt.
And once a guy's, you know, established himself and he's in a rhythm, keep him out there. Don't just switch for switch.
No, I don't want to do that, but I do want to get – I think that there's certainly ways to get Gray more than the one and two carries
that
he had
done that.
The two previous games. Yeah. You know, 5.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be like this week where he got 11.
Right.
You know, You know, Blunt wasn't effective this week, so you got Gray more carries. I agree with Fred, your larger point. There should be room for both of them to get carries. Somehow you thought you needed to have both of them, so you should be able to use both of them. I still don't see the need for both.
It's not just – I think there was something else. And finally,
you might be right. I don't think there was, but you might be right. Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of reports of other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, just various little things. The Everett, blah, 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 blah.
Is there a report
then
on that?
Then there's a report.
Did someone report that? Because I haven't seen
that. Yeah, what's the report? We just heard it was someone calling into EEI.
Report, rumors. Okay, there's plenty of rumors. There was also a rumor that the day after his was first late or something, he showed up 1 minute
early.
And they kind of Tom Coughlin'd him. You were late yesterday, and now you're going to arrive right when it starts?
I hadn't seen that either.
You know, who knows? We don't know much of Jonas Gray other than he's a great running back. But, he might be one of those guys that just, you know, has problems with authority.
Well, then get the bleep out.
No,
sorry,
right.
Because he's not good enough to have problems with authority.
I don't know. You know,
Dez Bryant can have problems with authority when I see him making the diamond symbol in the end zone after one-handed catches.
I agree.
Jonas Gray, go away if you have problems.
But that would explain a lot. You know,
I guess, but then I would just say bye.
Yeah.
Now I'm with Paul. Well, if he's that, if he's like a big headed jag, then go.
Maybe they're just trying to bust the Bronco.
But you just said now I'm with Paul. Like I don't think that's what.
No, but you think they don't really need him.
Well, oh yeah.
So I don't think if he has a big head, then I definitely don't need him. He's not worth keeping around as my extra guy.
I just didn't want people to think that you were claiming that I was saying that he's got a problem. This is an attitude.
And that certainly is not the vibe you get when you talk about
him. I have not gotten that from Jonas Gray at all.
You got that vibe from Bethel Johnson. He would basically tell you.
He told us.
He was a jerk.
The more people tell me what to do, the more I don't want to do it.
Never gotten that vibe from Jonas Gray.
Not good in a football locker room.
I have given him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, the phone died. He missed it. He made a mistake. Whatever. I've never gotten the vibe that he is big-headed or a problem or anything like that.
Yep. So things are good. Things are rolling with the running game.
Rolling.
It was a bad running game.
And it was a bad coaching decision again.
Against a bad run defense.
661 yards allowed in three games.
And to get in there.
And we
got to
come in
there early. But,
well, yes, that's my point. You run Vereen, you run Edelman, we got to trick everybody.
Right.
Why don't we just line up and run?
Right.
The Jets could do it when they didn't have a quarterback. What could we do with a quarterback when we line up and run to then run play action and do different things?
Right.
But no, we got to run Vereen. We got to run end arounds to Edelman. Starting to feel like I'm criticizing Josh as much as the average fan, and I don't really mean
he does take a lot of heat for the top-ranked offense in football.
He does. In fact,
highest scoring offense in football. Let me rephrase that.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalada, writes in, that was some game, first half, 99% of the time on Twitter, I was yelling for McDaniel's resignation. Second half, he was the greatest offensive coordinator that's ever coached. I'm super curious why he keeps calling for plays where Vereen runs straight up between the tackles when that's clearly not his thing. And I don't have a problem with us running the ball. Just curious why not Blunt and Gray. Other than that, that's a hats and T-shirts for everyone. I'm just waiting for my Legion of Doom T-shirt. We haven't talked about that either.
I thought it was Island of Doom.
Well, she has Legion of Doom.
The Legion of Doom was a wrestling. That was, what's his name's father? James Laurinaitis.
Oh.
And we don't want to go Legion of Boom to Legion of Doom. You change one letter.
Well, that's
you're
the
lame.
Problem with Island of Doom. It's too close to other things.
And that was the point that I said. Yeah. I didn't know if it was.
I like it. Apparently,
stealing.
Patricia Militia is getting some run, which I don't care for.
Patricia Militia.
I don't like that at all.
No. No, you don't like that.
No.
I think half Patriots fans would say, who's
what's
Patricia?
That?
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't really care for the whole militia thing in general, but.
Yeah.
I don't mean to poo-poo on anybody's end zone militia parade, but I just.
Yeah. You don't think it should have like a patriotic type of revolutionary flair to it?
No.
No?
I mean, if it does organically, I guess, like Homeland Defense when we had it in the whatever era that was. You know, that was timely. It has a little patriotic feel because it's
like
the Homeland Defense.
Yeah.
But I don't think you force it and say it's got to be patriotic. It's got to be revolutionary. It's got to be colonies.
Whatever. Yeah. But it has to be defense is what you're saying?
Well, the change is the defense.
Right.
That we're trying to talk about, wow, you have a defense now. You have guys flying around, making plays, hitting people, picking off passes, covering people. That's why I kind of liked the Island of Doom, where it's not just the island. There's doom around it. There's plays and playmakers. And it ties in Belichick, because Parcells used to call him doom and gloom or doom. We had a whole argument postgame whether it was gloom or doom and gloom. But ties in Belichick's career. I like it. I think you can do a T-shirt. The whole thing.
Something with corner in the name? Like,
Corny Corner.
I don't know. Anyway.
My other brother, Darrell.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anything else we need to put on the table before we start taking calls and emails?
I need to throw something out there for our friends at either Cold Hard Football Facts or Pro Football Focus or any of the numbers geeks. The points we use for NFL score, you know, the Patriots are the highest scoring team. That includes everything.
Right.
Is there,
right.
Do those geeks do statistics
yes.
for, what is it
they
called?
They take out the defensive scores.
But do they even take out, like, short fields?
Right.
I mean, do
set
they have some sort of
a turnover?
I'm sure that they do it all.
Like an adjusted point scored for only,
I believe it's just considered defensive and special team scores and not, because they've gotten a lot, not just returns, like the blocked field goal return, but then they got a 60-some-odd yard return down to the 8-yard line.
Well, that's what I want to remove. Like only scoring drives
know,
where
you still
you
have
start
to,
on your side of the
still
field.
Still has to get you into the end zone, so it's kind of unfair to take that away.
I know, but I'd like to have a really like wow, that offense they move the ball and score when they
like
want.
You like you just said it. The offense wasn't as good this week as it has been, and the reason why the point total was up is because it was put in so many advantageous situations.
Right.
You know, I think the same thing with San Diego. They went 3-and-out, 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 but they kept taking over near midfield, and they finally scored.
Right.
Somebody give me those numbers. Adjusted scoring with only drives where you have to go at least 50 yards.
But you have to, you know, in order to compare, you have to do it for every team. Just
well, that's
see.
Why I'm asking one of these sites, because right. I would assume they would have done it for every team and tell me the Patriots are first, fifth, tenth. That's what I'm looking for.
How about...
And I've never been to any of those
how
sites.
How about... Scoring with on drives with four or more plays.
No, I don't want that.
No?
I don't want to eliminate big plays. If I have a big play offense, I want those.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if Brady could hit Gronkowski when he's
how
wide open deep.
Scoring
I even think
scoring
just,
on drives that originate outside the red zone. That originate outside the red zone.
Well, to
I'd
me
rather on my side of the field.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying the other team punted, and you had to go more than 50 yards.
Right.
So that eliminates a long return, you know, but... listen, they're a good offense. It doesn't matter.
Yes, I know. I just want to know how good.
Yeah, I just don't want people to think we're picking at the
offense.
No,
I'm not. It's the exact opposite. I want to know how they compare sort of just offensively. So I don't have to think, well, they had
that.
Well,
that was the whole thing. Defensively, like for years, the Jets, everybody used to make, well, Rex Ryan's supposed to be a defensive genius. Well, if you eliminate the 111 points they allow on offense
right.
every year, they did have a great scoring defense.
Right. Right.
But Sanchez used to throw a pick six every other play.
And in your
now
scenario,
Geno Smith
though,
does it.
Teams with really good defenses will get penalized because they're starting from good feet. You know what I mean? So it's
but
hard
you don't
to
start
do.
Very often in the other team's territory.
No, but if you kick off, you get the ball at the 20, and I stuff you, and you punt.
Turnovers and stuff like
well,
that.
Yeah, well, that's adjusted scoring.
But
yes.
That's why I'm wondering if there's a way to do it, you know, on opportunities, yards, plays, this.
I think you know it when you see it.
Well,
Patriots
I know,
are pretty good.
But the problem is I don't watch every game. For example, I didn't know the Jets were a hair away from having a band is on the field type loss.
I heard there was a penalty on that play.
Oh, there was.
I still have not seen it.
Because all I saw was the highlight.
Someone told me yesterday that there was a penalty on that play. It wasn't going to count anyway. But I did not see that, and I did not see the play. I know they got down to like the 7-yard line.
Yeah, it was inside the 10.
It was a Tennessee game
last
week. All right, let's get to
but
the...
One of my friends told me it wouldn't have counted anyway. I don't know if that's true. I didn't see it.
Should we include the noises on the show he does, too? Because that was the let's move on noise.
Yeah, I'm not interested in my... You know, no one wants to talk about the MVP. That's all anybody's talking
right.
about. No one wants to talk about the MVP.
Everybody's talking about it today?
On the radio, yeah.
Fred, here's something you'd probably like to talk about that has nothing to do with anything. Have you noticed the explosion of what I would call a sort of high-end underwear?
This is another one I don't get from him. Like, all of a sudden, he decided that there's, like, fancy underwear
there's
now.
There's, like, two or three companies that
Under Armour
out.
Eyewear,
yeah,
but
yeah.
This Duluth Trading Company is always on now, and they pump their underwear.
Yeah, there's a couple others, too.
Yeah. Tommy John's or
and
something.
Socks, too.
Yeah.
Socks.
I just feel like something we all used to buy from Hanes at $10 a pack is now, I love Under Armour, these cotton shards, but they're, like, $20 a pop. I used to get, like, 10 pair for $20.
And you go through them, you know. It's not worth the money spending on your underwear.
It is. With how good it makes you feel, it is.
Yeah, but you're going to just ruin it in a day.
And I'll buy more. I feel like it changes your whole perspective on life.
Oh, God.
When everything is feeling good
tell
down there.
Tell you what changes my perspective is when you light it up in here.
Well, they even have ones that you can buy with filters in them, right?
Charcoal?
Ass filters, yeah.
I like that. That's good. We'll get you that for you.
Doesn't sound comfortable. sitting on a wad of charcoal.
All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Marcel's in Sweden. Hey, Marcel.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Everything good? I just got a couple things. First off, Brady's deep ball. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with it. He's been bad since, I don't know if it's his knee surgery from 2007 or since 2008, his deep ball has just been declining and declining and declining.
He's just never been good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's varied, you know, better. Oh, Moss
but
made you look
better. But
when
was he good with it? When Moss was here.
Well, yeah, but that's because Moss was good
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. So maybe, you know, I mean.
And, you know, Bethel Johnson had that extra gear. Maybe he could close, you know, if it's 3 yards off. We saw Timms not be able to do that. Timms couldn't go get
well,
it.
Well, I guess my question is there a quarterback who has a good deep ball without a good receiver? You know, he's known for being a really good deep ball thrower, but he doesn't have that top-end receiver on the other end.
Jeff Blake.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know either.
I mean,
like if Timms
under those qualifications, I feel like I'm back on the metric thing.
The ball was like only a foot away from Timms. If he had made a better adjustment or a better angle to the ball, would he have gotten it?
Right.
You know,
and that's why I said
that makes Brady look like, good.
I thought Bethel Johnson had the ability to, you know, that extra gear to go get whatever the cliche is. But I saw him do it a little bit. The Gronk one was just piss poor. It was just underthrown. You got to give the guy a chance to go get it. And I don't understand how you underthrow Gronk. He's not running a 4.240 and blazing down the field and you misjudged it. So that's another example. He doesn't give Gronk a chance to make a play. Gronk's strength there is not going to be to stop and, you know, his momentum. He's a big guy. He's not the quickest. That was just terrible.
Yep.
Not enough caca!
Yeah, and the other thing I want to say is, says Andy, I saw this when Andy retweeted it, Gronk is not that far away from his 2011 season.
Correct.
He's not.
He's on pace
two games.
Yeah, three or four touchdowns less, but everything else is really close. And that's why I said maybe a little burst here, you never know.
Yep. All right, thanks, Marcel. Let's go to, what? Tremphis. Hey, Trey, what's up?
Oh, come on, Fred.
You don't like Tremphis?
You look, it sounds like, you know, I don't want to, it sounds like trim. I don't like the trim part, but hey, if you want to roll with it, hey.
Okay.
No, we won't go with it. It's lame. It's lame. We'll let it go. We'll move on.
What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Just a big second half. Fred's still upset about the first half, but we're trying to work him out of that.
Well, I tell you what, man, if those guys had been on point the first half like they were the second half, they would have had to go into a running clock, and they probably would have got 70 put on them. Guys, I got two comments, and I have one question. I'm going to start with my question. Man, did you guys really see the different combination and a variety of schemes, man, that we was able to do when we brought Akeem Ayers in the game and bumped Taylor Jones in the inside, man, he was giving the guard speed. I mean, did you guys pay attention to that?
I didn't really notice that a whole lot, no.
Oh man, it was awesome. Paul, it was a thing. If you could go back and watch that game, man, it was a thing of beauty, man. It was a thing of beauty.
Well, I'll tell you what I was most impressed with, and one of the things that Andy and I talked a lot about in the postgame was Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones not just playing, not just returning from their injuries, but playing at a high level immediately coming back from their injuries. That was a huge – I thought that was a huge plus.
And then you add them in. They're part of the doom. You know, they're part of the fly into the football and the guys. You know, Jamie Collins has just come on, as Belichick talked about. He's playing faster, reading keys, and boom, he's gone. You know, even Ayers and what he's done.
How about the platoon of doom? No?
No.
Okay.
No, it don't have that feeling to it. I like what – leave it alone, Fred. Stop trying to get all – I like it, Paul. Okay, let me go to my first one of my comments. A lot of people are complaining about Brandon Brown. I mean, I look at Brandon Brown as the X factor on the defense. He's kind of like a Dennis Rodman. I mean, you know what he come with, but, you know, Dennis Rodman was the key to the Pistons and the Bulls.
I like that.
I mean, so you know he's gonna, you know, he's gonna do some things that
He's gonna hurt you sometimes, but he's gonna hurt them more.
Right.
That's a good analogy, the Dennis Rodman. I hadn't heard that.
He's not wacky like him.
No, but it's I'm talking about
he'll hurt you
strictly
between the whistles
on the field.
Right. He's not gonna kick a cameraman in the
nuts. Rodman would do things occasionally to get himself and get your team in trouble.
Ejected out of a game.
Right. Right. No,
I mean, I kinda like it. So and my second statement is I'm real confident in this defense, man, and this team that we have is bringing something to the table that, you know, that the teams in the past was 10, 11 years didn't bring, man. That's a hell of a defense. All right, guys, I'll talk to you guys on tomorrow.
All right.
All right.
Nobody rushes himself off the phone more than, like, he's mid-sentence. All right, guys, gotta go.
I think his boss, he sees his boss coming.
That is what it sounds like.
Well, I like, hey, he goes, leave it
Fred's
alone,
coming.
Fred.
Leave it alone, Fred.
People were not happy because they thought the Island of Doom was going to be on the cover, and we're getting tweets, why not? And I said, that's all Fred. Fred's baby is the cover.
Okay.
But you did get a good picture, and the words fit the picture.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, did you happen to see, you know, talking about the game and stuff, that Miami was talking about the alignment of that play?
Yeah. Sour grapes.
Probably. But I'd be interested to see what comes out of it if they, you know, obviously nothing can change, but I'm wondering if they actually did it. Because that stuff that the Patriots, don't yell, Fred, that stuff the Patriots have pushed the envelope on consistently over the last several years. Different alignments on special teams.
That's what I was going to
really
say. How come we never have a simple field goal?
we're always looking for a way. And, you know, you're asking.
And shouldn't you?
Well, yes, you should. But I'm wondering if it's illegal. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Okay.
Just flippantly.
So here's the only thing then, okay? You've blocked three field goals this year, and you might say, well, I'll take that. I'll take the opportunity to block one. If you get called for one, don't complain about it.
Okay.
So if you're pushing the envelope and they happen to catch
all
it
right
once in a big spot, don't complain about
so
it.
So they line it up 5 yards closer and they kick it again. So,
no, it would have been a first down, Fred. See, this is how football works. On fourth and two, on a 5-yard penalty, it's a first down. Like last year in the Meadowlands, it was a 15-yard penalty, and they lined it up and kicked it again and beat you in overtime.
Yeah.
So again,
well, that
if you
was,
want,
yeah,
if
but
you,
that
if,
was a
if
bad call.
If you're advocate, this is my case in point. I will no longer speak.
That was a bad
you
call.
You can't live up to that promise.
Eric's the
on
dude.
This
now, what
on this particular topic.
The exact thing is, if his foot is within the line.
If he's on the line, there was too many guys on that side of the ball.
Like, what is on the line, though?
But you could tell from the picture that he wasn't because of the shadows. He was in the guy who's had his hand in the
how
dirt.
How far away was the camera and how high was the sun at the time?
But you could just tell.
Like, seriously.
And
just turn into a freaking
and
physics
Fred,
question.
You might be right. I don't know. The referees might have caught it. I'm just saying, if those are the kinds of things that you want to do, you might get caught once.
Right.
So be prepared to have,
right,
you know.
If you don't execute it right, he could have been too close.
Exactly. Exactly.
Eric is New Jersey. Hey, Eric, what's going on? Are you building something back there?
Hey. No, I'm sorry. I was stirring up my coffee. I'm
oh, okay.
two questions about the defense. All right, who's more valuable, Jamie Collins or Dante Hightower?
Right now, that's a tough question.
I'm going to say Hightower.
I do too, but that Collins is making plays.
I like the surge that Collins is making. Now, I'm extrapolating maybe a little more than I should. I don't know where he's going to plateau, but I'm becoming more and more intrigued with Jamie Collins. I thought he was all over the front. Yes, Sunday.
I thought it was Hightower by a lot, but I will say this. Collins is asked to do more. So there are times where Collins is going to look bad that Hightower is not put in those spots.
My case in point
would be the double move that Collins looked like he had never seen before,
right,
where the guy dropped the touchdown pass on him.
But I think
Hightower's not
happen.
Put in those spots.
Right, and I think very few people are. He spent half the game in the backfield around Ryan Tannehill, and then he's – however many yards downfield, running with a guy doing double moves.
Right. And that's what I'm saying as a point on your
it's
side.
It's kind of like my Belichick GM thing. Okay, maybe he's the worst at that job in the NFL. Give me the list of all the players that are asked to do that in throughout the NFL. I think it's a small group.
I definitely agree. I definitely think he has a higher upside. I think Hightower is a beast within his own. I definitely think he's more of a middle guy. But I mean, I think I love when he rushes the passer. I think Jamie's great at rushing the passer. I mean, I just think it's a hint. I don't really know who. If you were to lose one, if you're asked to lose one, I just don't know who you would.
It'd be a tough one. It'd be a tough one.
It wouldn't be ideal, Aaron, to have to play a big game without either one of them.
No.
Because I think those two guys are doing an awful lot.
And the obvious answer is, you know, the communication, the leadership, Hightower's more experienced, but Collins was okay when you made him do it.
Yeah. You went without Hightower in a game, and it worked, but it's not something I would want to do.
If you're talking about just pure sparks, I think Collins is the bigger spark to the defense.
Well, because he's more athletic.
Yeah, and he does more things.
Flashy. And
yeah. Isaac's in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Isaac.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Ike.
Hey, feels good to get back in the 40-point range, huh?
Yes. Yep.
Although, didn't feel like it was going to get there early on.
Yes, it did not. It did not. No, I thought my score prediction was going to come up right, but I'm glad it didn't, though. It was nice to score 40 points on the Dolphins.
Yep.
And yeah, I said in the live chat room that, hey, man, Dolphins can't swim in frozen water. So
that's true. They don't like cold water, those Dolphins, I don't think.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to next week. Man, it's going to be nice to see Darrell Reeves back in New York in the Patriots jersey for the first time.
Yeah, not nice for Jets fans. That's an unfortunate reminder, and I think some people forget that he wanted to go back. He called them first, supposedly, and wanted to go back, and ownership poo-pooed it.
GM over there in New York, I don't think he doesn't like Rex Ryan, so I think he did all that on purpose.
That team is a mess.
That organization thing is a mess.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to next week. I think we're going to blow the Jets out, but so if we take care of business next week in New York, and the Denver goes on Monday night and lose to Cincinnati, do you see Bill Belichick resting players against Buffalo?
I do, and I think particularly Brady. I mean, if there's one thing the Bills can do, it's they can get at quarterback. So, I mean, if they have everything wrapped up, if he plays a quarter, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I think he'll play. I don't know how long it'll go. I think he'll play.
Yeah, I think they'll play, but I don't know how much. What did the last time? Oh, well, that was
now. If the Patriots
beat the Jets, they'll play at least a half.
They will wrap up a bye. That's guaranteed.
Correct.
Then they'll have to wait for Denver's game Monday night to see if they actually get the first seed.
In Denver, they on the road against Cincinnati, right? They're not playing home.
Right. Yeah, it's in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's all over for the Broncos.
Yeah, I think it's a good chance. No, I think it's a good chance Cincinnati knock them out next week because, you know, they just came out of a big win, 30-0 win over. And the Bengals not a pretty. I think they can beat the Broncos, so I'm hoping they beat them, so we don't have to play against Buffalo.
Yeah, Manning's going to be losing feeling in his toes after that game.
Yeah, Peyton Manning's out there trying to be an offensive lineman, so I don't know what's up with him.
All right. Thanks, Isaac.
It's like he forgets that he has to like cut the guy off. His hand wasn't on the mouse, and then he suddenly looks down like, "Oh yeah, I should probably get rid of this guy."
Well, I found my opening.
You had four openings before that.
Well, you're just mean. You just want to cut people off.
No, you know, I've said it. I think Beadle does a pretty good job of it. He's not the a-hole that Felger is, but he doesn't let him go on forever like you do. He has found a happy medium.
Toby's in New York. He writes in, Paul has brought up the point that this defense reminds him of our defenses of old. Give them a lead and the game's over. He's absolutely right. And I think the credit should go to Belichick. I must admit that even though I never lost trust in him as a head coach, I was kind of wondering what happened to the whole defensive genius thing. Well, guys, it looks like genius Belichick is back. The Patriots have given up a total of 6 second-half points in their last 4 games, meaning he's making some great adjustments at halftime. It's obvious to me that Belichick is still a defensive genius. He just hasn't had good enough players in the past.
And as Bill points out, games get out of hand, and it's easy to play defense. It's sort of like 07, when everybody thought that defense was better than it was, because when you go up 35-0 in the second quarter, it's pretty easy to play defense.
And when it's not, it's pretty easy to be a defensive genius when you have Darrell Revis.
Bobby from Squanum's on the line. I mean, writing in.
What a train wreck.
For anyone who missed it, during the postgame show on Sunday, there was a hilarious discussion about what to nickname the defense. Paul came up with Island of Doom, which I had heard as early as when we picked up Browner on some Pat's blogs. But, hey, I feel for you, Paul. I had the idea for Snapchat like 4 months after it came out without ever having heard of it. I feel your pain. Stay strong, brother. Anyway, the best part of all of these presumably drunk fans emailing their island-based nicknames, it was like a game of telephone. At first, they all had island in them, but then it kind of devolved into just tropical theme names, which makes absolutely zero sense. One guy actually suggested Boom Beach at one point, and I just spit out whatever I was drinking. Like, why not Jimmy Buffett's Margarita Squad? I freaking love the post-game show. It's PFW on booze. It's true. Anyway,
I'm telling you, the college is so much better. It's ridiculous.
I'll be at the Jets game this weekend, working hard up in the nosebleeds. It might be cold, but I'll have to think of the palm tree lined shores of New England to keep me warm.
Boom Beach was good. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Right.
No, he's right. He's absolutely right. Like, oh, yeah. The island is not like tropical, like beach. Right.
It's Revis,
Revis Island. It's Revis
alone.
Island.
Yeah. But
just so you know, Fred, I don't want to be. I said this is probably not original.
Right.
When I said the island thing. So 10 minutes later, someone had brought it up on the show that's something in a Pat's chat room or something that it has been out there since August. So we were well aware that someone had already done it.
And then I called him Dane. And
right.
Bert
yeah.
Beetle didn't laugh, so I called him Dane Cook.
And
Beetle
laughed.
Couldn't control himself. He laughed so hard.
Somehow he didn't know what Dane meant.
Dan of Virginia, regarding the nickname for the defense, Boston Tea Party was floating around earlier this year. Two concerns about Island of Doom. First, it's too derivative of Seattle. Second, the island part makes it all about Revis. Setting aside,
that's what it's all about.
That's
people.
Intentional.
Setting aside the argument,
all the other guys were here before.
Setting aside
not
the,
effective.
Setting aside the argument about how Revis makes this defense, if you want to make it about the D as a whole, it would have to be the archipelago of Doom. Ultimately, so long as they're called a Super Bowl winning defense, what does it matter? By the way, Legion of Doom was also the name of the enemy group on Super Friends cartoon with Batman, Superman, and their buddies. And could we have an all grunting show with Fred Zolak and Monica Seles?
We should do something for Fred. You guys would love it. You guys would absolutely love it.
That's not a bad idea, though, either, to have it be a conversation between Zoe and Fred. Here's what the press box sounds like with Fred and Zoe. That would be good.
Can we add Jackie to that too, Andy?
No. She'll be offended.
That's porn.
Just do it right now, though.
Jerry's in California. Hey, right, Jerry.
Good morning, guys. It's hard to compete with those noises.
Give it a shot.
It's a good win against Miami, but I'm concerned that when we get to the playoffs, we're going to have to play more than one or two good quarters.
Well, that's what Bill Belichick said.
Yeah. Now, Fred, about our buddy Jonas Gray, y'all may not agree, but I was more impressed with his running against Miami than I was against the Colts. I guess the Colts, the offensive line was opening holes that Fred Kirsch could run through. So.
True.
But against Miami, he was actually making some of his own yardage on his own and picking some of his own homes to run people. So
I would agree with that. Yep.
Also, I have a feeling we're going to have to win both of the next two games to get our first seeding. And even though I think Buffalo is much, much better than the Jets, I'm really concerned about the Jets game.
So is Fred.
These rivalry games against the Jets, anything can happen. And not
That's
only
true.
That, this is obviously their Super Bowl. If they can win this game, they'll really feel good about themselves.
And Rex Ryan would love to go out having beat the Patriots in their last meeting.
In an important game. It's
right.
an important. It would be an important loss if he could beat the Patriots.
And not only that,
spoiler.
There are players on the Jets that winning is not the only way they can feel good. If they were able to knock Brady out, and I mean really out for the rest of the season, I think they would do it.
Oh, yeah, I don't think
Brady
that's
going
to be. I don't think that'll be high on their minds, trying to hurt
Brady
somebody.
Goes on a 17-yard run, he may not be hitting his shoulder and pushed out of bounds. They may be diving at his
feet. I don't think that would happen.
If he runs, he deserves to be hit if he does that.
Yeah,
that's what, you're a player.
They'll try to hit him.
You're a player.
But they're not going to intentionally try to hurt him.
And I don't think they actually will, because I think they would be in the same situation that Walt Akins was in, the same situation that Brian Urlacher was in. They are
damned if you don't.
They're thinking about, well, is he going to slide? Am I going to slide? Can I hit him? Should I hit him? Well, I don't want to be
Tom
embarrassed.
Brady. I'm going to get a $100 million fine right here if I breathe on him.
That
do
is
do?
Literally in their minds.
Thanks, Jerry. Let's go to Dana in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. How you guys doing, Andy and Paul?
Great.
Hey, Dana.
I think I guess the theme is defense today, so let's stay with it. I think the difference between this team and the teams that have not fared so well against Baltimore in the playoffs, the Jets in the playoffs, and the Super Bowl losses is the defense. We haven't had a defense like this. We got athletes all over the field. You know, Patrick's playing much better in his second tour of duty, and we got, you know, the anchors up front. I like what Branson, Salinga, and Wilfork are doing. They're allowing the athletes to penetrate and get some pressure. So I think the defense is going to take us where we need to go. And we don't have to depend on the offense. If we have a few moments like we did against Miami, we can weather the storm. So I'm impressed. But I just want to ask you guys what your thoughts are. My biggest fear in the playoffs is Baltimore. I hope they get knocked out because I just think that's a tough matchup for us. I know we handled them the last time we played them fairly easy, but I'm worried about that team.
Do you mean like potential in the divisional round or just in the AFC in general? That's the number one.
Yeah, they slip in there, Paul. They slip in there, and they're in the hunt.
They are.
That's not a team that I want to face.
I agree. That's the team that I least want to see in the divisional round. I mean, if we're going overall, it's still Denver. But I'm with you, Dana, 100% on Baltimore. I think they're a scary team in that divisional round. They'll show up to play. I think the Patriots are better, and I think they'll win. But I'd rather play Pittsburgh. I'd rather play Kansas City. I'd rather play Cincinnati. Cincinnati, please. You know, I'd rather play Indianapolis. Yeah, Baltimore is the team at the bottom of that list of potential divisional rounds.
I hope we get a shot to redeem our losses and take care of Kansas City and then take care of Green Bay in the Super Bowl. That would be the ultimate to redeem our three losses, providing we win the next two.
All right, thanks, Dana.
That seems to be picking up a little steam. That idea of
a lot of people. I shouldn't say a lot of people. A couple of people brought that up on Sunday and pre and post.
I could care less, actually.
Yeah, that's kind of how Andy and I felt. Yeah. But you know, a lot of people, that's important.
I'd rather play Green Bay because I think you have a better chance to
win. I think you play Green Bay, it immensely improves your chances of winning the game.
Cattell from St. Louis, do you guys think that Brady got ahead of Rodgers in the MVP race? Rodgers had three turnovers, in one of which was a game-ending fumble.
No one wants to talk about
Brady
that.
Brady played good. Great show. And yes, Fred, Manning is on a decline, and it is a rapid one. There you go. What's he done lately?
Win.
I don't think Brady passed Rodgers.
No, he closed the gap.
Because
Brady didn't have a great game,
by the way.
Well,
that's part of it. You know, Chris Ferreira's texting me at halftime, bad Brady's back.
You know, I understand that he has great numbers. You know, Rodgers had a couple of picks, three picks the other day or whatever, or three turnovers. When was the last time Brady didn't have a pick in a game?
He's had one every game.
No. He didn't have a pick. He had a batted ball. It's different.
Some would argue that's worse.
He had a lot of balls batted.
Yeah,
four of them that I can remember. But
I wonder if his balls are swollen again.
It wasn't one of his better.
You
games.
Get your balls batted that many times, they get swollen.
Really?
Although I'll tell you, the touchdown pass to Gronk down the seam,
that
was a
laser.
Thing of beauty. That was a thing of beauty.
Well,
no, it wasn't. He had three. It was like a triangle around Gronk, and he put it in the only spot right in stride.
How do you think he decides how to throw that, whether to put a little air on or whether to zip it in?
I think sometimes when he drops back, Andy, what he does is he looks at the coverage and he decides how he wants to get it to the guy who's open.
Oh, really?
Now, who are we making fun of here?
Nobody. No one. Absolutely.
Because Paul's afraid of it.
Absolutely no one.
I'm in a long-standing feud with him, so I'm okay with it. Tom Curran.
Not that everybody knows.
He made it public, so now I'm just going in with the feud. He blogged about me, Fred. He put me in the mailbag.
Really? I like Tom. You don't.
I actually don't. Well,
I know.
Yeah, I don't really.
Don't bring me into your little spats.
But I don't hate him like he hates me.
He's writing about you?
In his mailbag. Somebody asked, like, what media member do you most try to avoid or something? He wrote
Andy Hart. That's a badge of honor.
I took it that way.
Simon in Aarhus, Denmark. Hello, Fred, Aarhus. Paul, Andy, and Eric, I guess.
No.
I've been listening for almost 10 years now, and you guys have made me a much happier fan, especially during the drought that is the off season. This year, I visited Boston for the Bears game, and I am absolutely going back. Now to the question, has Brady been in too close proximity to Rex over the past years and maybe caught a bit of Ryan's foot enthusiasm? I don't know what that means.
Foot enthusiasm.
Oh,
fetish.
I get you. It certainly seemed like it during the first half of Sunday's game when Brady seemed unable to keep his eyes and throws off his receiver's feet. Ba-dum-bum.
Well, we talked about that earlier, you and I legitimately, without the foot jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Throws, balls heading downward, and it looks like he's almost on top of the ball. Yep. I don't know if we're making mountains out of molehills, if it's a technique thing, whatever. But I've noticed it a little bit. I think it's been the last couple weeks, and I told Paul it's
showing
my Ken Dorsey. Yes.
They keep showing him on the sideline with the hand, and I wonder how much, you know, there's some discomfort there because it seems like he's putting gloves on, off, moving them around, yeah. I don't know, adjusting a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with some of the
Was it last year that he had the hand issue?
Inaccuracy.
Is this two years in a row?
Yeah.
I think he had one. Yeah,
Remember the Jets game, right? The photo of the red mark on his hand.
It was the Jets game that they lost.
But that was last year's.
Yeah, last year with the Meadowlands.
Wonder if it's
similar.
I wonder if it's something that's been
maybe. Simon also says, I'm cautiously optimistic about this season, and I think we can go all the way, but the offense really needs to get clicking on a regular basis. The last 3 weeks has been worrying, to be honest. It's a confusing feeling to worry about the offense and not the defense.
Well, I'm not worried about either. I think both are championship caliber.
Worried is
I think
too
you
strong.
Can win the Super Bowl with both of those units.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
History gives me the feeling the offense can win you a game, flat out win you a game. Defense, I am not to the point with the defense that says they can win the Super Bowl just on a defensive effort. If Brady and Gronk poop themselves that they can win the Super Bowl because the defense is, you know, 2,000 Ravens, I'm not at that point. They give you more opportunities. You won't have the Jets game where they're marching up and down the field.
What I think they've gotten to that is really encouraging is it used to be when they had a couple of bouts of just lack of production with the offense in the recent past, you were either going to be in a dogfight of a game or you were going to lose it. You know, you couldn't punt 2 out of 3 possessions. Now you're kind of back to that. It's not necessarily a bad play to punt the ball.
Right.
Because that doesn't necessarily mean the other team's going to have the ball for the next 6 minutes like it used to be in the old days.
Unless it's the last minute of the half.
Yeah, listen, that was a train wreck of execution in the last 40 seconds of the first half. We get that was very unpatriot-like execution all around. But when you had a game like the other day and they did nothing offensively, A, you probably weren't going to have the 14 points on the board that you did that were the result of special teams and defense. The offense did nothing in the first half. You still ended up with 14 points. And B, the other team probably would have had a bigger lead than that because they would have been controlling the ball and putting points on the board. But both of those things, not only they were coming up with stops, they're putting points on the board for you. That's the way it used to be. You know, they sort of stem the tide until your offense got going, and then the second half you score 24 points in the third quarter, and all is right in the world again.
It would be fascinating to just really get what the Patriots coaches think is the reason why they get off to these slow starts. Is it the game plans that other teams are coming in with that we then have to adjust to? Is it overconfidence? What is it?
It seems like it's something different all the time. Like this week, they got a really good drive, the first drive.
That's
and
true.
Then they threw the pick on the batted ball.
Right.
So that stopped that drive. You know, another game, it was a long drive, the San Diego game the week before. One of the best drives of the season.
Yep. Running the ball down their throat.
One of the best drives of the season. Yeah.
It was like
an 89-yard drive.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the short fields, but that wasn't a short field. And they get down to the 1-yard line, and they throw the ball, and they have to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a different thing all the time.
And is it that the offense really doesn't know what it wants to be yet? Now, I know I've heard guys on the offense, like James Devlin was on the radio yesterday, saying, well, that's our strength. Is that we can do so many different things on offense. If you want to play us this way, we can beat you.
Right.
That is
a strength.
Can that sometimes hurt you, though, that you don't,
right,
you know, that you're not a certain type of offense and you want to be too many different things? I don't, you know, I'm just throwing it out there.
I think it happens. You know? I think it definitely happens.
I agree. I think it can be a strength, but I also think at times they're, and I know that we use this as a cliche, but I think that there are times they're guilty of being a little too cute.
Yeah,
and I think like that one in San Diego was one of them. I think that when you can do a lot of different things, sometimes you want to show everybody we can do a lot of different things.
Or you're too quick to stop doing the thing you're doing and move to something else.
Yeah, sometimes the obvious thing is the right thing to do, and they don't always seem to want to do that. Andy talked about it at the beginning. Another game, 600 and whatever amount of yards, 661 yards, the last three games. Just line up blunt and go off tackle and don't try to trick them and put Vereen out there and hurry up to the line and run a jet sweep with Julian Edelman. Just run the ball conventionally and see if they can stop it. Right. And then maybe Brady doesn't have a subpar first half if you're able to do that. Maybe. I don't know.
Tristan in L.A., I'm with Andy. I think Blunt is better. He's more dynamic and has more of a potential for big plays. However, Gray looked good on Sunday, and the biggest difference that I see is that Gray hits the hole really hard, while Blunt tends to dance around a little bit. Would you concede that, Andy?
Yes, I would concede that.
Okay.
I would concede that as well. I think that's Gray's strength is hitting the hole really fast, and I think Blunt's strength is having the patience to pick and make big plays.
And then, yeah.
And sometimes that can be a negative, but I think that's his strength, is that he has patience and doesn't hit the hole lightning quick, and he makes big plays as a result sometimes.
Tony says the O-line didn't help Blunt Sunday.
Nope.
He was often hit behind the line of scrimmage, and the holes weren't really there for him.
True.
He's right, but Gray was a little bit more patient and willing to bounce it out. So,
but it was the second half. It was a different game at that point. It was, you know, I think they probably had more Devlin in there at that point, so he had a fullback in front of him, and we know how important Devlin is to this offense.
Mads from Norway, this weekend Rodgers went 17 of 42 with a completion percentage of 40.5, 185 yards, two interceptions, no touchdowns, 30 passer rating. Brady versus Bills in week 6, 27 of 37, 73% completion percentage, 361 yards, four TDs, no interceptions, rating of 139.6. Has the race for the MVP become a little closer? And I have a question for Paul. You said a week or two ago that the Seahawks will be a tougher opponent in an eventual Super Bowl. Why so? And how do you, in the Patriots, how do you think they'd fare against them? Well, first of all, this first part, this is where I don't like the argument about MVP. It has nothing to do with how the numbers and how one guy did against one team and the other guy did against one team. It's what the value you bring to your team. But anyway, how do you think the Patriots would fare against the Seahawks?
Well, just so you know, no one would ever break down one game against the same opponent and say, that guy's better than that guy. No one would do that.
Right.
No one would cherry pick one game against one opponent to do that. I think Seattle's a better team than Green Bay. I think they're light years better defensively. I think they're more than willing to slug it out and play a smash-mouth physical game. And I think the one thing that sort of concerns me, we just talked about it with the running game, and you know, someone said that Blunt didn't get the holes, and Gray did a better job of avoiding. The offensive line, again, to me, was not very good the other day. We talked about all the batted balls. Well, part of that is because there was pressure around Brady. They were knocking balls down at the line of scrimmage. Some of them weren't necessarily as a result of a strong pass rush, but I thought Jared Audrick in particular owned Dan Conley in that game. And then Conley had to leave it with a neck injury. He already had an ankle injury. So I think Seattle has that kind of mindset where, you know, we're going to lean on this team, and we're going to keep leaning on you. We're going to run Marshawn Lynch. We're going to have Russell Wilson do some read option stuff, which, by the way, I thought Tannehill was effective with until they couldn't run the ball anymore after the turnover that made it 31-13 in the third quarter. Up to that point, I thought Tannehill was pretty effective mixing the runs and throwing. I think Russell Wilson is better than him, and I think their defense is a lot better than Green Bay.
Yeah, I think
it's a
bad matchup on a lot of levels. Your pass defense is one of your strengths, your defense. The passing game is not the strength of their offense. And a mobile quarterback gives the Patriots problems. And Rob Gronkowski is the heart of your offense. Who has the best safety combo in the NFL? Probably Seattle.
Yep. Tough matchup. Kevin, who brought lunch today?
Jeff and Newton,
thank you for the lunch. We're going to take a break right now and eat it. And when we come back, a lot more calls and emails.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
We all know that Paul Perillo is an award-winning journalist, but did you know he's also an excellent babysitter?
Guys, knock it off.
Paul excels in communication.
I have a terrible mouth.
You do have a terrible mouth.
Not to your kids, though, right?
When I want emphasis.
Really?
Teaching.
They listen to you more when you swear?
Wait, what do you use?
When I raise my voice and I get angry and I might, you know, I'll kick your A or something like that.
Oh, he's threatening.
Wow, violent.
And discipline.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Will gets arrested when he's 16, if they have an open beer in the car, I am going to hit him. Okay? I'm telling you right now. But it won't be a spanking on the ass either.
In need of a sitter this weekend? Call Paul at 855-PATS-500 or email your babysitting request to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Fred, Andy, Eric, and Papa Perillo.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Julia from Sparova, Russia, writes us. And she says,
in Russia,
every morning I wake up, I listen to your radio show. It gives me energy and a good mood for the whole day. Now I cannot imagine my normal day without your radio. My whole family also listens to your radio. Wanted to ask for a few souvenirs from your radio for my family.
Why are you being an a-hole?
Why
are you being an utter a-hole?
This is what she's saying. With thanks and best wishes, your regular listener, and she gives us her address.
So send her something, please.
Should we?
Let's send her Eric. You know, usually Russian brides come to the U.S. Why don't we send her an American husband?
Maybe.
Just box him up.
Eric likes to travel, right?
Yeah.
That would be great.
That's what I was just going to say. We should send Eric over there.
Where's her address? You don't have to. Don't give the address.
Sparova.
One of those big fur hats on him.
I don't know
him.
Where Sparova is in Russia.
Just think of all the dogs that he could save if he was actually in Russia.
Right.
Put a fur hat on him, give him a hammer and a sickle.
And she sounds hot.
Yeah. She does, and she has a family, too, so he would be right in. You know.
And a radio, as you kept saying, on radio.
That's what she said.
You were being kind of an a-hole. You were reading it.
Well, we also don't know if that was just a blanket email to all radio stations looking for souvenirs to put on the Russian black market.
Are you saying souvenirs?
Yeah.
You're an a-hole.
Thank you for your interest from Russia.
I don't think we actually have a lot of listeners in Russia, so I, for one, am not trying to alienate the few we have.
John writes in, so I'm trying to figure out why anyone really cares who the MVP is. It's an award that means nothing in the big picture of the season. Super Bowl wins is the goal, not league MVP. If people want to fight about that, then I say make Geno Smith the MVP. The Jets have proved they can't win with a Jag at quarterback, so he's the most valuable player for that team to be even mildly entertaining for football reasons. Anyway, I'm done with my rant about the pat on the back rewards. I and the prize, we're on to the Jets.
I hate that person.
Why?
Like, they just suck the fun out of life. That email is a fun-sucking email.
Wow.
Like, oh, we can't have MVPs? Like, do you totally have to be completely brainwashed by Bill Belichick? We can't possibly have any fun and talk about individual accomplishments and awards and MVPs, even though they care about them and put guys in certain situations just to achieve certain awards and accomplishments.
Those conversations are for Oakland radio.
No, they're not.
Not New England.
They're
radio.
For sports radio.
John,
you can win and win MVPs. You can be Larry Bird and be a great winner and win MVPs.
We have other things to talk about.
The worst thing, Andy, is
that was a fun-sucking email.
Is if Bill Belichick went to the podium tomorrow.
Good thing you don't change the S in the F.
And said, you know what? I've never seen a guy who's done more for his team than Tom Brady. And if he doesn't get the MVP, it's a travesty.
Right. They'd all be on board.
Every single one of these guys would sit there and say, oh, Bill is absolutely right. I couldn't agree more.
Good thing we don't have to worry about
it. It's enough to win a Super Bowl, but, you know, we really should get this MVP, too.
Johnny in L.A. says, forgive me if this topic has already been covered. I don't listen live. Jonas Gray is a more effective running back than LeGarrette Blunt, plain and simple.
Stupid. You are simple, plain.
He bursts toward the hole, whereas Blunt plods toward the hole. I'm sorry, Blunt supporters, but the dude is just way too slow and will only continue to get stacked up in the backfield
time and time
again.
Do these people not watch football games?
That's not debatable. It's clear as day reality.
Like your moronicy.
I am terrified that Belichick and Josh, stubborn as they are going to continue to give Blunt the bulk of the carries come playoff time, and that we'll have no running game because of this. I could see it costing us a game, but only time will tell, so hopefully I'm incorrect. And P.S., I don't want this to read as Gray is the next Adrian Peterson, because that's not what I'm saying.
I'd be happy if Gray were the next LeGarrette Blount.
I'm simply saying that at this stage of their careers, Gray is clearly a fresher and more effective option.
We're on a bit of a stretch here, because I think that's two idiotic emails
in a
row.
I don't think it's idiotic.
I do.
No, it's his opinion.
You totally forget what LeGarrette Blount has done in this league and done for this team.
Okay, so let's bring back Walter.
Don't give me your stupid, dumbass argument. Yeah. Don't be me.
You can't talk in the past. You got to talk about right now.
So we can't talk this year. Because in this calendar year, he had four touchdowns and 166 yards in a playoff game for you. Or maybe 189, 100 and something.
Last January.
But this calendar year.
Okay.
So that's the same as Walter Payton, a dead guy who they named awards after. That's the same comparison, Fred. Good call.
Live in the present.
You didn't expose your lack of an argument in any way there.
Live in the
Not
present.
Not at all,
live
Fred.
Live in the present. Live in the present.
I am living in the present. The year is 2014. In the year 2014, LeGarrette Blount carried your ass to a playoff victory.
How come last week we didn't have to live in the present?
What do you mean?
Well, last week, Blount was had more of an impact in the game than Gray did.
How do we know if Gray was used, he wouldn't have had as much or more?
Well, how do we know if Blount got as many carries as Gray on Sunday,
he
wouldn't have had as
much
or more? All
we know is when we see Gray, we're impressed.
So in a
including
blowout, he couldn't have been better.
Including you.
Not when it was a dogfight, but in a blowout, Blount couldn't have been more productive with James Devlin in front of him in the second half.
The offense moved more efficiently with Jimmy Garoppolo in it against Kansas City. Why didn't we have to stay in the present?
We can match stupid with stupid if you want to bring stupid to the table.
If you want to take it to the theater of the absurd, believe
me. Walter Payton in.
Except for Andy, there's nobody more absurd than I am.
I mean, if you didn't, you said at the beginning of the show, liked what you saw out of Gray.
I did.
I did like what I saw
but
out of Gray.
But these people say,
unlike
it's now
you
fact,
and
he's better.
In your minions, I like to I like to assess what's actually going on rather than just say things like, you know, what is there, like a three-year difference between the two of them? Like, how old is LeGarrette Blount?
Last year was this is fifth year, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it should be Jonas Gray's third or fourth year, but it's not because it's taken him this long to crack into the league. He's 24 years old.
God, he's ancient. Stephen Killeen.
But I think Blount might be 28. He's far from ancient.
Stephen Killeen.
Got to live in the present.
Was it just me? You do. Was it just me, or did Brady's 17-yard run feel like we entered the Matrix and time slowed as we watched him mosey down the sideline? Also, Brady was so pissed that he did not have the presence of mind to go out of bounds. Why didn't he lower his shoulder and lay a smackdown on the defender?
Because he got caught in no man's land.
Finally,
and
how
you
do
really
we
think that would have happened had he loaded his shoulder,
no.
Right? I think it would have been more damaging.
Finally, how do we get the pissed off Brady for an entire game?
I don't want the pissed off Brady for an entire game because he might get killed.
The not pissed Brady seems dazed and confused. The pissed off Brady executes the offense like a member of SEAL Team 6. Now on to New York in the Rex Ryan farewell tour. And P.S., to address Andy's concern, if there is not a second bye week for the barbecue blowout, I'll see about picking up lunch anyway, or I'll roll it into a week of lunches in the off season.
Sounds good. I'm intrigued by the barbecue blowout. Not going to lie to you. I don't even know what it is, but I like barbecue and I like blowouts.
What is the barbecue blowout?
I don't know. It's Steve's promising during the bye week.
Oh, that's what he called up and talked about that over the weekend, right?
I think there'll be meat involved. Like, if Brady came and said, guys, I'm going to host a barbecue blowout for you, I'd say no thanks, Tom, because it would be freaking avocado and pineapple and flaxseed. I have no interest in his barbecue.
Is there more
blowouts.
Alkalinity in that?
I had never heard.
Is it the cold weather meal or the warm weather meal?
I don't know, but I had literally never heard of
AA batteries?
The alkaline acid diet, whatever that. I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know the first step toward what that is.
Ancient Chinese secret.
Ancient Chinese secret.
I like
man
it.
With itchy bum.
Jason in Georgia. Hey, Jason.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
Sorry, this is my voice. You going to get on me for that?
Well, I think the answer to that is obvious. Okay. Yes, we got on you.
Well, thank you.
It's not your voice. It's your attitude. Come
let's
on.
Go.
Now.
Bring some pep, Eeyore.
I'm sick and tired of your attitude.
Let's go, Eeyore. Pin your tail on and bring something.
No, I am bringing something. I'm thinking
better.
Gronk should be the comeback player of the year.
Yep.
MVP should go to J.J. Watt. Just put a decent quarterback on his team, and maybe they're vying for division championships with the Colts.
On cue, just so you know, on NFL Network in the background, J.J. Watt blew by Gosder Cherilis and took down Andrew Luck in the replay of the Colts. I mean,
and they are going to use their fourth quarterback of the season on Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, so not only you didn't have a really good one to start with, they're
and
all getting hurt.
7-7?
Yeah.
They're a 500 football team when they should not be.
Doesn't that make the case, though, you can have the best defensive guy in the world, but if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win?
No, I think without J.J. Watt, they'd be 2-14 again.
No, but that's not the point, though. You can't do it all.
I don't understand what your point is, because you change them all the time. That's why we can't figure it out. This is why you don't like talking about the MVP, because you don't have really a view other than your guy should get it. That's your only view.
Who's my guy?
Brady.
Anyway,
so if we end it there, we don't have to talk about it. You're right. It's not really fun to talk about.
I said at the beginning of the show,
just give it to the guy with the best record.
It feels to me like Brady's not as much a candidate as he's been in the past.
So is that why you don't want to talk about it?
Probably.
Okay. Can we let Jason talk about it?
Yeah. Brady would be my second, but he's just been inaccurate for the past, three games at least. First half of games.
It's weird. He hasn't had a dominant season.
To me, if you're going to really look at the true meaning of MVP, it's Revis for the Patriots, because he's the guy that turned it around.
I think it's Gronk.
Well, I still have another point. The calling of the name of the defense, especially the nickname of the defense. I said this to John Rook right after the Broncos game, and I said, why don't you just keep it simple and call it the hoodie? You know, for Bill Belichick, because, you know, with hoodies, you can't tell what's in the sleeves, what's under the hood, what's in the pockets, and...
If you have to explain it, it's not a good one. Right. I'm sorry.
Well, no, what is it, the nickname for the secondary, the final stage or the final level for, Patricia's.
Yeah, I mean, keep trying.
Engineering.
No, keep thinking, but, you know...
Darrell Revis and the Pips.
They're not resonating.
No, just, the final stage.
The final stage.
This is the... I don't even know what that is. Yeah. What is the final stage? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Because,
again, you're explaining it.
Well, because he's not happy. He's a rocket engineer.
He's a rocket engineer. Oh, Patricia, you mean?
Yeah, the last line of defense.
Yeah, but now you got to, explain it and all that.
Yeah.
No, because...
Yeah, if you need a subhead to your title, then...
It's just for inside Patriots fans, because John Rook understood it immediately.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he wants Taj Boyd to be the quarterback.
He gets one call, so he has to keep you on there.
Oh, no, I thought it was simple, because,
I think you're simple. Can you hang up on this guy?
All right, no, we're only kidding, Jason. Keep trying.
Thanks, Jason.
Just kidding.
Even a guy we tried to hang up on, he said bye.
Sorry,
you are the worst hanger-upper ever.
Oh, stop it. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? For my MVP, I'd got to go with J.J. Watt. I mean, in my opinion, how could you not? He plays both sides of the ball. And when I've seen him play tight end, it didn't look gimmicky at all. He just lined up and caught the ball.
Right, and I think he's player of the year.
Oh, no. Now we're going to change it to player of the year as opposed to, I hate you.
Except that I don't have that.
And I was listening to y'all skit, and Paul, I think,
they have a defensive
maybe
player
fit him right so he doesn't go to Industrial Park like our last tight end.
I missed that, but it doesn't sound appropriate.
Yeah, something about industrial parks and tight ends. What do you want to do with Tim Wright? What?
No, listen to y'all skit, and I think Paul should babysit Tim Wright so he doesn't go to an industrial park.
No, he's not from Bristol. All right, thanks, Justin.
He's not from Bristol.
I don't really...
What? That's getting close, by the way. They're talking about the jurors and... See, I don't know why they have to not allow Patriots stuff.
You're not allowed
stuff.
To wear Patriots stuff in court.
Was that an option?
Actually, that's a good preemptive strike by the judge, I think.
What do you got there?
Kevin just came in with dessert. I call one of those sugar cookies.
I call that chocolate chip cookie. Paul wants it. No, you can have it, Paul. I don't need it. I've been trying to cut back.
It's okay. Are you really?
Not really.
Hey, what do you got, Nick Baby Love?
Before I go off on Brady and bring in energy today, full disclosure, I had to wear a Dolphin shirt for a few days this week. I'm still wearing it.
Why?
Because after the game, everybody was upset, and one of the perfect babes who Andy knows about, because he got my tweet, she says in front of everybody, Poppy, would you wear a Dolphins shirt for me? And I said, baby, anything you want.
I got no problem with
that. That's because you were bare-chested at the time and she wanted you to cover up.
No, I wasn't bare-chested. But
that's okay. That's the only reason that it's acceptable to wear any other jersey, if a hot girl hands it to you.
So besides the fact, Geno Smith, they're 3 miles away from me, and that's a whole bunch of smack talking, so I'm worried about the Jets. Putting that aside, and I don't know where I'm going to watch a game Sunday. This article on Brady, I mean, where did that come from? And Felger and Mazz have been going off for the last, since it came out. What's the story with this whole diet thing and a guru and all that other BS?
So are we going to, well, the story's in on the internet. You should read it.
It's a Sports Illustrated story about Alex Guerrero, his personal guru, and the TB12 training center here at Patriot Place, and sort of alternative training and therapy.
It's just his
and
regiment and all the different health foods that he eats and sleep. And
he's out there.
Yeah,
he has dedicated his life to football. He has come a long way.
What I think is interesting is he says that, you know, he it's the first really talk that I've heard him say about after he's done playing, and he said, after I'm done playing, I'd like to go out and share this knowledge with people.
And that's why this was a paid advertisement, essentially.
No, but you know, people have asked him, what are you thinking about after football? And he never says anything. But this is the first time he has.
But it almost reached the level of the absurd when he didn't poo-poo the idea of him being on stage at like a stadium.
Right.
Like, it reeks of snake oil salesman. That's what it reeks of.
It reeks of the Maharishi, you know?
I don't know what that is.
All the followers out there, I'm about to do a tweet because without a doubt my inside info tells me for one of the players who is with my guy Red Light knows Patrick Chung's mother, man, I'm not saying it's Patrick Chung, Giselle cut his sugar supply off. That's the bottom line.
Yes, he doesn't. I don't believe he has sugar. He doesn't have a lot of fun.
I mean, sugar. She ain't giving him none.
Oh. Okay. Well, maybe. Okay. Thanks, Nick.
Now I got what he was saying. Took me a second.
Yeah.
You mean they're no longer having sex?
That story didn't bother you at all in any way.
It did. No, I told you it did a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I just think it's so much over the top. And let me ask you a question. Like, he probably has at his disposal someone to prepare stuff for him, someone to buy this stuff for him at all these places where he gets it. The average person just can't sustain that.
It's really hard
and expensive.
I'm not sure he's necessarily marketing it, although he did talk about a tour in a white robe and up on stage. I mean, he also had the line, imagine if LeBron James was doing this.
Right.
Like,
right.
He's targeting other athletes.
I mean,
I could easily see a chain of these popping up in, like, professional cities.
I'm sure that's the vision.
Yeah.
I think as much of a problem as you're talking about with the money and the resources to get it done is, Andy brought this up over the weekend, it's like the science behind it. Who says you're right?
Well, no one knows, really.
I mean, you're talking about a lot of stuff and a lot of different, I mean, some of it I think is absurd. I mean,
I know what I'm
the
doing
brain relaxation.
Wrong. That's all I know.
But the brain relaxation techniques to avoid concussions. I mean, come
that's
on.
To yeah. me reeks of lawsuit from the FDA, like a fine.
Well,
you have no science to back up that anything you're doing is preventing the effects of concussions, and you're making promises you can't possibly make.
How'd you like to be an offensive lineman, working your butt off every week to make sure that he doesn't get lit up and get a concussion? And he's, it's Miyagi that's preventing the concussions. It's not Matt Light, you know, making sure that Jason Taylor didn't kill him.
Well,
I'd also like to ask a question, Fred. If the name on that facility was the Chad Ochocinco Performance Center, and he were coming out with this, how to train.
Great point.
How would you have felt? You would have ripped it.
It would be the Performing Arts Center.
You would have ripped it. But because it's Brady, even though he struggled in the first half, you don't say, well, maybe if he spent less time promoting his physical therapy center and more time practicing.
Listen, Brady has done a good job at being very choosy about what he puts his name to. You know, and you got to give him credit for that. He doesn't
I believe that he believes in it.
Oh, I do too.
And I don't think that he's trying to perpetrate a fraud.
And look, I believe if you do everything he says, the way he says it, or really the way Alex Guerrero says it, I believe you will be healthier. certainly healthier than I am doing what I do.
Oh, well, if you're on any kind of a strict diet where you're eating, very good nutritionally, you're eating well.
Right.
Of course, you're going to be healthy.
Right.
We all know that.
Right.
But I'm talking about the.
Doesn't mean you can play.
I believe that he is taking it to a different level of that. He's not just advocating a healthy lifestyle. He's advocating a high performance center.
And he's
if you do
advocating
these things,
it for business purposes.
Yes. That's what I feel.
If he were just doing it like he has done it for a while, that's not an issue. And why I'm calling you a bit of a fraud.
Maybe.
Where he crosses the line is it's a business that he's now promoting and using, and it's outside of the realm of football and everything for the team.
Team.
The other part that bothers me just a little bit is the whole, remember the quote? You know, I believe it was after the third Super Bowl, the back-to-back, and he said, there's got to be more than this.
Right.
And now he's willing to do anything to play as long as possible because all there is in his life is football.
Right.
Well, how did that play out?
Right.
I'm not saying you don't have the right as a human being to feel both ways, but I would like to know, when did you go from, because you loved football growing up. You loved it all the way up through. You had a throwing coach in middle school, blah, 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 boom. You win a Super Bowl and you say, that's it. There's got to be more than this. And now fast forward another 10 years later, and you will, as Sports Illustrated wrote, do anything to play for as long as
possible.
Maybe
the losing got him going again. I don't know.
I don't know. But that's something I'm interested in. And I also still say the sentence of Tom Brady will do anything to stay on the field as long as possible is not a sentence I would want tied to my name.
Alkaline versus acid diet, says David. Check out, and he gives us a website. It's a little too extreme for you guys, but the health benefits are great. I lost 45 pounds and never had more energy. Many testimonies about people cured from cancer don't have to do the full program, but anything is very beneficial.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, no. See, I'm not doubting that stuff. I think that what Fred said, if you adhere to a strict diet and you're eating well nutritionally, you're gonna be healthier. I get that. I think he's trying to extrapolate. If you eat like this, you're gonna be able to perform at a high level. No.
Or like that guy just said, if you have cancer and eat like this, you'll be cured.
Yeah. Stop.
Snake oil.
Stop.
I mean, you're promising things that just aren't fact. You know why Tom Brady's good? Because Tom Brady's good. Because God, the man up above, or whatever you believe in, his dad's sperm, whatever you believe in, the reason he's good.
I don't know why he has to do that.
His work makes him better.
But that's just poor to me.
But am I wrong? He's good because he's good. He's Tom freaking Brady.
But also the good ones and the great ones usually work harder and do something to give them even more of an edge.
But there's no proof that his avocado ice cream is helping him play longer. I mean, if it makes him believe it, then there's value in that.
Which is a point that Beadle brought up.
Right.
You know, if it's all placebo and he really believes it, then that's great.
Right. It's like the cherry juice when I was taking it for the marathon. Somebody told me cherry juice makes you less sore, whatever. I took it and I said, oh, yeah, it's really working. I take
omega-3 every day, and now I'm reading stuff where, it could advance prostate cancer.
Oh,
you
great.
Know? Yeah, you know, so it's like no matter what you do, there's.
And I think there's a chance that some of this stuff that maybe we don't know a whole lot about might end up 10 years from now, people saying, oh, that's the exact wrong thing you should be doing. You know, and I'm not using this, the alkaline versus the, acidic kind of
not
diet.
That would be different.
Acidic.
What? I should eat less.
I love when he breaks it to Jackie Mason. Oh.
I have the acid, I get the alkaline.
I got to get double A batteries.
Janine from Chicago, on Sunday
that's one of my favorite Fred voices, Jackie Mason.
On Sunday I was thinking, well, we have to give Fred credit. After the KC loss, Fred said that if the Patriots lose to the Bengals, then he will be worried. While most of the Patriots Nation had already thrown in the towel, Fred kept his wherewithal. I also want to thank you all. The game was not on TV, but I felt so connected via curse words and the post-game show. The post-game show is rocking. It is so great to have Andy and Fred on it. She means Paul. And the main host is the best host that you have ever selected, in my opinion. You guys should definitely do a tailgating setup for the show. It would be give me more incentive to make the trek to Gillette Stadium to check it out.
Fred's going to make that happen.
I'm so pumped about the defense this year. It is so exciting to watch them clicking on all phases of the game. I don't know what is going to happen in the playoffs, but this has been a great season, or special season, she says. It is great to see the camaraderie among the players. Have a great one, and thanks for your consistent great work.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That was a nice email.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that you can, no matter what happens, this was a good season. You've been to three straight AFC title games. There's an expectation or an allure of doing more.
And this isn't one of those like last year where you lost a significant amount of starters and you were like, this is great. Even if they don't end up going anywhere in the playoffs, this was a great season.
If they
you stayed relatively healthy. You've proven for now 2 months that you're one of the best, if not the best, team in football. You get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, that's a bad year.
I think AFC title game is your bare minimum. If you lose that, okay, we can have some sort of a debate maybe.
And
but if you're not in the AFC title game,
and
you
I would
failed.
Say if you win the
I
last
would agree
two,
with that.
And I would say if you win the last two games, I think it's a failure if you don't get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because if you lose at home, you shouldn't lose. You haven't
you
lost
stuck your chin out.
The only time you lose at home is in the playoffs now. That's not acceptable to me. Is it? I mean, am I being
unacceptable?
I mean, you tell me if I'm being too hard.
No, I think
if they lose at home in the playoffs, I think that's unacceptable.
We have every right to have very, very high expectations this year.
Yeah, again, last year, if they had lost to Denver in Foxborough in the AFC Championship game, I wouldn't have felt the same way I would feel if they lost this year at home to Denver.
I agree.
Last year, I thought they were doing with smoke and mirrors. This year, they're clearly one of the best teams in football.
Right.
I didn't feel that way last year.
Yep.
The fact that they got to the Final Four last year was enough for me.
That's right.
I thought that was that's where I thought
See,
they would
that,
end up.
Last year we were saying, my God, if the Patriots do it this year, this
right.
is Belichick's greatest
Correct.
Effort ever as a coach. Not so
They
I mean,
got where they should have gotten last year.
But he's
year.
Got Revis now, and he's got more health on defense this year. And, you know, so he has more horses
and he
to
has
work
Gronk.
With. Yeah, and he has Gronk this
I mean,
year.
Assuming Gronk rolls right. through. That's huge. Right.
Big
Revis
difference.
And Gronk.
But we were talking about just an amazing coaching effort last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of what they did with so little.
He had we were throwing a Julian Edelman and nobody.
No,
there was nobody.
Julian
well,
Edelman,
it, eventually it caught up with them.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's why you say, yeah, they probably maximized what they had to work with. This year,
the Final Four last year
have,
to me was where you would have expected them to get. If they got any further than that, it would have been remarkable.
You've convinced me. If they don't go to the Super Bowl, it's an utter bust of a season.
Listen, if they
utter bust.
On a bust?
Utter bust.
Yeah. Unless, of course, somebody gets hurt between now and then.
Well, that
we reevaluate. Yeah,
the injuries are always a reevaluating point. But if they if they slip up and lose one of these games too, and they end up having to go on the road, you know, and
well,
that
no,
makes
no, that. But that's still a failure because you failed in the regular season, which led to a failure in the postseason. That's still a failure. You should win these two games, correct?
I think they should.
So if you slip up and lose one of these and then have to go on the road and then
you lose
that.
Basically you're saying they can't lose any games. I mean,
the Super Bowl. I think they can lose to Seattle and the season's not a failure. Actually, they can lose the Super Bowl. I think they will be challenged in the Super Bowl. There's a possibility there. If they do not go to the Super Bowl, you are dead on correct, Paul. That the season's a failure. I agree with Paul Perillo. The season's a failure without a Super Bowl. I'm going to make that the most
getting to the Super Bowl
accurate. Yeah, without a Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
If there even is one. What are these headlines I'm reading about? No Super Bowl because their terrorist insurance is running out or something?
Right, the home, yeah. The government has to renew that.
Oh, that would, never mind.
John writes in, come on, Andy. There has to be more than this quote. Now Tom has a wife, he has kids, he's got a family. The statement doesn't have to deal with just his professional career. Stupid judgment, big head.
No, you asswipe.
You mad, bro?
Yes, I am now.
That's what he expected.
I don't even understand what we're arguing about.
If he got the wife and the kids and all that, I understand there's more than this.
He
but
did
then,
get them.
No, I know. And when he got them, he decided, I want to play football as long as possible. I don't ever want to give this game up. If you got the wife and kids and said, you know what? I get enough money. I want to go be with my wife and kids. He hasn't said that. He's done the exact opposite. So that is one of the dumber emails. Who was that?
But I also
who
think,
was that?
I also think that.
That was stupid.
Look, I think who he married makes a difference. I mean, Gisele Bündchen is one of the most, you know, powerful, but successful women in the world. She's got her own thing going on, and she was going to continue her own thing after they got married. So maybe he realized, well, you know, I can't just be sitting around the house. She's not going to be sitting around the house. She's going to be out doing her thing. So I might as well keep doing what I do.
But he could have. He could have said, you know what, I'm going to be Mr. Dad. Well, you know, when she goes on her long excursions or whatever shoots, I'm going to be home with the kids.
I think that, you know, I think he just realized I'm a football player, and I think losing kind of reignited that competitive fire in him.
But when did he lose?
The Super Bowls.
So you think it was 07 or That I'm trying to figure out. I don't know the answer to this question.
Yeah, I don't
either. I just want to know how he got from there's got to be more to I never want to give this up. I want to play as long
maybe
as possible.
Maybe he realized there isn't.
Maybe he married the wife who makes him clean the toilets at 6 a.m. with a toothbrush and realized, I don't want to go home.
Ain't getting no more sugar.
Ain't no more sugar in that diet.
That's what Nick Baby Love thinks. Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Fred, I think Katie Mullins is going to burn down this year anyway. So.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, you won't have to come here anyway.
Good.
So that's
are you threatening an establishment?
Yeah, that's fun. Fun time.
I knew you were going to say that, so that's why I said it. But I did play golf last week with an 87-year-old guy who was smoking cigarettes and drinking alkaline water. So,
well, something works.
Hey, something works there, doesn't it?
Alkaline was a great hitter for the Tigers.
Hey, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All right, you two old coots. Let's talk Patriots in 2014.
Oh,
I thought you'd like that, Paul. No?
Yeah. Nothing short of a Super Bowl. I was in Arizona at my neighbor's old neighbor's house because he bleeds orange, and I had to go visit him to reserve my room for the Super Bowl. So
nice.
And, I'm gonna leave you guys and listen to what the answer is. But did you read that pot roast article?
Yeah, Terrence Knighton. Yeah, yeah.
I did.
Guaranteeing a Super Bowl win for the Broncos.
What an idiot. Well, anyhow, yeah, he's an idiot. Anyway, that's okay.
Yeah, that'll have a big impact on the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, no, this team is wonderful. I mean, this team, the short of a Super Bowl, this team is going to, it's not a good year. Let's face it. This is the first time I've ever said that because I've been a Pats fan since 1960 and I love them.
Yeah, well, and, I certainly said it in 07.
This is the year we need, well, this is the year we get it.
Okay.
Anyhow, watching Peyton Manning last week, I saw a guy that I'll tell you what, he put up so many ducks that it good cornerback could have been his.
I know, but, you know, no, I was saying the same thing, and I couldn't. It's just amazing, though, because either there aren't any good cornerbacks or his timing and accuracy are just impeccable because they're up there forever.
They've been up there for 2 years.
No, but not like.
Yeah, there's been a big difference in the last 3 or 4 weeks as opposed to the first.
It's unbelievable now. I mean,
happy holidays to you guys.
You too.
Okay, thanks, Noel.
Papa Noel.
Yeah.
There's been a big difference. First of all, he only throws the ball 20 times a game.
Well,
now.
That's a major difference.
And that's why I know he's
I
hurt.
Don't see the difference in
I mean,
the
they absolutely and, oh, flutter.
There's a big, huge difference between his throws.
But he still connects.
Yeah, he still doesn't throw any. He doesn't even throw any incompletions.
It's unbelievable. You know, and you would think, wow, you know, if you could just turn your head, you could have all day to adjust to the ball if you're on defense. But he still connects. I don't know what's going on.
I think that's how
he's been for
2 years.
But see, the whole turning your head thing, that's true for everybody.
No, I know.
The Gronk play down the seam, you're watching the guy, he's running with Gronk, he's in the end zone, and you're thinking to yourself, what are you going to cover him up in the end zone bleachers?
No, I understand.
Turn around,
that.
You're in the
but
end zone.
It just seems there's just so much more time for the defender when Peyton throws the ball now.
Yeah, I've noticed a huge difference between the velocity of his throws over the last month, month and a half, than there was the first six or 8 weeks.
And he's putting everything into it, too. I mean, he's got no strength left.
I think it's definitely injury related. I know that they're saying it's not, but I think it is.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason they're only throwing the ball 20 times.
Yeah, I do too.
They know there's a finite number of throws left. I wouldn't be surprised if he retires after this year.
Oh, I wouldn't either. I think he's probably going to.
Well, if they win, hands down, I would bet the house.
Yeah,
that
but
he
I don't
will,
think they're going to win.
Yeah.
But I think he still might retire because I think he's in pain.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think he'd wait, though, until training camp and make a decision?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
See how he feels?
I don't
think. Because he's another guy. I mean, you talk about Brady realizing that he's a I mean, that's all Manning has is football. He is – that's his life.
Right, but I've never heard – yeah. No, I just have never heard Manning say there's got to be more than this. I think he likes this.
Right. That's what my point.
Right.
I mean, there was an article – he didn't even know how to dress himself. His girlfriend used to lay out his clothes because he had no interest in picking out clothes because it was all football all the time.
I do wonder what he'll do.
Yeah.
I mean, he has plenty of business interests, like Brady.
He'll be out there with the gray sweatsuit and the whistle coaching.
He could run the clinic, the academy,
I think that's
too.
What he'll do, is just full-time quarterback, camps, guru, whatever. I don't think he probably has a lot of interest in NFL coaching.
Yeah.
I think he would, you know, I was watching it last night on maybe NFL Network, and he was working with a bunch of kids and, you know, rotate your torque and do the, you know, this is a good drill now. You get down on one knee and you do this. It's a good drill for, you know, and he's doing it, and you're like,
right.
He could do that the rest of his life. Absolutely. He seems perfectly happy.
And he'll still do commercials for a certain amount of years after he retires.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he has long-standing Q rating or whatever you call it.
Yeah. Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
What's going on, gentlemen? How we doing?
Good.
I just want to talk about a couple players, and you guys can get rid of me. But, okay, first, I think it's enough already with the Jonas Gray stuff. Okay? I mean, I think this is more of a commentary on, like, just the adamant fans that are like, he's definitively the best running back they have. And then you say, okay, I don't think he is. And then usually the response is, well, I'm not saying he's Adrian Peterson, or I'm not saying he's Emmitt Smith, or what do you expect him to be, Earl Campbell? Like, what kind of statement is that? And I'm not interested in what you're not saying. I'm interested in what you are saying, and I think that's incorrect. I think it's still ludicrous to suggest that after a game and a half against terrible, mediocre run defenses, that he's definitively the better running back.
But to me, it doesn't matter. Do you want to see him run the ball more than he has? Yes or no?
I'd like.
Yeah, of course, we all would. That's all. That's all.
If you pose it that way, my answer would be no, and I don't want to see Blunt any more than he has either. I want to see them throw the ball, but that's a different argument.
But, you know, within the confines of what their running game is, split the carries a little bit.
Situationally, I think they should have run the ball at times, and I'd like to see them try to run it more conventionally. But I don't need them to run it any more often than they generally do.
It just grinds my gears a little bit when people, like, with people defend players, like, or the Amendola is like, oh, what do you expect him to be, Megatron? No, I expect him to be on the field making plays.
Well, and that's the thing with these arguments, you know, whether it's sports or politics, it starts out, like, reasonable, but then one side says something that puts the other side in the corner, and then they start, you know, and it escalates, and now you get to those statements like you're talking about, Dan, where it just started out like, hey, I kind of like what I see out of Jonas Gray, and then someone gets killed for saying that.
And then Fred says, how this started, bring back
Peyton
Manning.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did.
You're the one who escalates it to idiocy.
I was the one who was ridiculed at the beginning of the season because I happen to like what I saw in Jonas Gray.
Yes.
What'd you say, 3.6 ERA?
No, that's
how it started.
And then you said, well, you got Blunt. We might as well just bring back Walter Payton.
But that,
I'm not talking about, Fred.
It escalates.
I'm not talking
about how it started for you. You liked him in the preseason.
I am the genesis of Jonas Gray.
Okay.
See, that, I begat Jonas Gray, and that's how this all started.
All right, Abraham.
It's just not enough for people to just say, hey, I like the player. They have to, like, just make definitive statements and make these, you know, ridiculous hyperboles to say, like, oh, well, because he doesn't need to be as good as Emmitt Smith to be good, therefore I am still validated by saying he's definitively the better running back. And that's ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, I like your defense.
Now, what's your stance?
My stance is that I'd like to see him, you know, just as part of a rotation. I think he brings some elements that Blunt and Vereen probably do not have individually. But I think he has his problems like any other, you know, rookie. Well, I know he's not a rookie, but, you know, middling running back does. I don't think we've seen enough of him. But I just want to get to the second player before you guys get rid of me. Brandon Browner. He's been playing better, so I don't want to say, like, I'm just upset with him, the player. I'm upset with the entity of him, essentially. It seems to have become just a foregone conclusion that he's probably going to get at least one, probably 2 to 3 penalties in the game. And I just don't have the confidence to say, and I'm channeling my inner takeless radio co-host here, I can live with the penalties because they can cover, Mike. I do. And it's just, yeah, all right. So a lot of people like to say, okay, well, they can't call it all, and that's fine. And, well, they'll let them play in the playoffs, and which they probably will, if history is any judge of that. But is that something you really want to hang your hat on? I mean, yeah, the penalties haven't killed them yet. You know, sometimes they've been, you know, in the first quarter, and it doesn't really impact the game. But if he's only called for 2 of his obvious holds, and one of them puts Peyton Manning inside the 5 for an easy shot at a touchdown in the fourth quarter of an AFC Championship game, is that something you're willing to live with?
Of course not. But, you know.
Oh, but the question is, are you willing to live with what the total package Brandon Browner is over what the total package that Kyle Arrington or Logan Ryan or Alphonso Dennard is?
And that's why, although I think Tony is a little bit ridiculous the way he says it and the way he I would say that I am willing to put up with the penalties because he can cover. Because when he's not getting called for penalties, he's not generally getting beat. You know, Aaronson might not get the penalties, but he's getting beat on the outside. Logan Ryan has been a train wreck all year. Even Sunday, he came in the game because Butler was getting killed, and they switched things up in the second half. Revis started on Landry. They switched that and put Ryan on Landry. Landry ended up with a 100-yard game. It wasn't on Revis that he was getting those numbers. He only had like three or four catches when Revis was covering him. And there's a huge difference when it's not Revis or Browner. That said, know that you're getting penalties on Browner because he's just too damn physical all the time. And he, you know, what you have to hope for is when the big plays happen. The last 2 weeks, there was a big play involving a Brandon Browner hit. One of them got overturned with a penalty, and one of them didn't. They probably both should have. You know, there was, but if you have a big play and it doesn't get overturned like that, I don't think anybody's complaining about the 6-yard pass interference he had on Hartline when he. When he hits the guy and causes the Patrick Chung interception, right? It was a huge play in the game. Instead of the Dolphins having a chance to get back within a score or get back within a point, then immediately they have the ball right back and the blowout is on. It was 31-13.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Dan. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Hold on. I'm just wrapping up my avocado ice. So good. Let me tell you something. If it was anybody else or Bill was any other coach, Jesus, giving us nine extra marks or under Cincinnati, I'd hate it. But there are guys, so we love them.
Right.
I admit it.
But I agree with that. That's how I feel about it.
Yep. I love the Facebook post. I love the corny ugly boots. I love it all. Give it to me. Give it all to me. I want it all.
As long as they keep winning.
Yeah, if they lose, I don't want anything to do with them.
Well, if they lose, that's the reason why they're losing.
That's right. Get the hell out with your ice cream. Get out of here.
You never used to be putting these stupid Facebook posts up.
quick question about the first half sort of woes. And I was reading Borges' report card today, and he made mention of sort of how it takes a while for Brady to sort of warm up. Do you guys think it was that, or was it more of the combination of the play call? Because I think he, like everybody else, he looked terrible the first half, but I don't think the play calling did him any favors either. I was just curious what you guys thought about that.
I don't know. I can't blame the play calling when he gets batted balls and balls in the ground and guys are open.
I mean, he overthrew Gronk. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Gronk beat. Was it the first half that he beat Grimes?
That was Finnegan. Cortland Finnegan made the breakup.
It was on the sideline.
Yeah. I think it was the first half. Yeah. It was going away from us, Andy.
He blew right by him.
Yep.
So
Brady was off, but we know he's going to be hurt. We find out later. We find out, you know, in these SI articles that whatever year it was, his testicles had swollen three sizes too big. And no, but he's always hurt. We never know about it. We never know the effect it's having. Does he have a hand injury? Probably. Is that affecting him? I do think he has thrown funny the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I think, Fred, you're dead on. He's gotten on top of the football. For some reason, it looks different coming out of his hand. And I'm going to assume that he hasn't changed his mechanics. It's because something is out of whack.
He's adjusting for something. Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
What you were going to say.
They show the locker room footage of them coming in after the win. And Kraft hugged Brady. And when he hugged him, he said, "Are you all right?" And Brady said, "Yeah, I'm okay." Yeah. And then he looked at him and he said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay."
Yeah, I heard that. I watched that.
You know, I don't know if conspiracy theory want to, you know, read into
it. I think it was typical post game. You know, you doing all right?
Is it?
I mean, that's how I read it. You might be right.
All right.
Robert's
you might
thinking,
be right.
I was asking about the 17 broken bones in your hand.
I'm going to have to rewatch that because I just watched that this morning. I'll have to.
Hey, it's just real quick. He says, "You all right?" or something like that. And Brady says, "Yeah, I'm fine."
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. Maybe that's it. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of stood out a little bit.
Did they edit out the part where Robert says, "Then why'd you play so crappy in the first half?"
Yeah, that wasn't in there.
The fact that it was in there is why I believe the way I believe.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I feel like if he was asking, "Are you all right?" because he knows he's hurt, they'd have taken it out. They wouldn't have aired it.
But maybe they think you would think that, so they've done this because you
would probably
think
right.
Or maybe the speakers they were listening to weren't as good as the one that Christian's listening to.
Oh, there's audio to this?
I got to go. I got an avocado ice cream.
All right.
It's melting.
Jimmy,
Jim in Pittsburgh writes, I haven't read the article about Brady's diet, but I can tell you what happened to me when I did a juice fast for 30 days. I juiced fresh produce, both fruit and vegetable, and nothing else. I have to tell you, I felt great. My cholesterol went down 140 points. Some of my allergies went away, and inflammation in my joints, not that one, Andy, went way down. I cannot remember feeling better.
That's not a joint, you idiot. You're forcing it.
I cannot remember feeling better in my life. It could be that it just erased my memory, but I'm pretty sure it was a huge benefit. Just eating natural solves a lot of problems. The chemicals used in food production cause your body so many problems, and you don't realize how much until you cut that crap off. Oh, by the way, I lost 40 pounds as well. Some people are selling snake oil, but there is a scientific proof.
Gee, there's proof that if you eat only vegetables for a month, you're going to lose weight? No crap.
No, but how he feels, too.
Yeah, then why'd he go back? Why'd he only
do
it for a month?
Maybe he's now...
He said he did it for 30 days.
A fast, but
yeah.
Now he's probably moderating it in, mixing it in.
But everybody, when you're a little kid, my son knows that vegetables are better than if he eats a brownie. It's like you're born knowing that. You don't need to be told some diet. And you know whatever balance
like
you have of those things.
That's not new science.
Right. It's very simple.
Okay. We're not
very,
talking
very
about,
simple.
We're not talking about avocado ice cream.
And alkaline and base, 80%, 80-20.
80-20 and winter diet, summer diet, warm right. food, cold food. We're not...
Neuropsychology
and
training.
And my all-time personal favorite from that article is the brain relaxation techniques that have allowed him to avoid concussions. He claims to have only had one. That's, to me, that's
he remembers.
That's something that is, you know, combating science, that you can prevent concussions based on your preparation. I mean, that to me, I want to see the science behind that. Not that if I eat a pizza, I'm going to be less healthy than I am if I eat vegetables. But I get that science.
A lot of people say you can do it with just sugar. If you eliminate just sugar from your diet, that sugar really Fs with you, and you feel so much better.
Hmm.
Like, literally, will just feel better. But I like sugar.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
You balance it out.
We're all going to die eventually.
Oh,
so.
And one of the things I go with, yes,
probably
it's so bad.
10 years of each other.
It's,
I mean, it's
so
like,
bad, except 100 years ago when they ate natural stuff, they died at 20, and now I live to be 80. So I might not live to be 90, or I might die at 70. I still got 50 years on the clown who died in the snow eating a vegetable.
Wow.
Clown who died in the snow eating a vegetable.
You know, like the colonists.
The pilgrims.
Pilgrims.
Oh, clowns now. Our forefathers are now clowns.
Our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation.
Fred.
Yes.
Little respect, no?
I know. Well,
they're not your clowns. Your clowns were in Italy, weren't they?
That's true.
Well, I like to think of us all as one nation, Andy.
But you're not. You're a late arriver here.
With liberty.
You're not a native.
You're a late arrival.
Well.
You're one of those
guineas. None of us are really.
Guineas off the boat.
If we're going to go by that, I'm not off the boat.
Oh, but you're closer to the boat than some others.
Why?
Because your relatives came on a boat more recently, didn't they?
What, my great-great-great-grandfather?
I thought you had relatives in the 1900s that lived in Italy.
No.
Oh. Oh, so what are you all worked up over the Italian thing for? It's washed away generations ago.
Who's worked up about anything?
You're in America. You're very, very defensive about the Italians. Well, the only thing you can still make fun of. The
Irish.
The Italians.
The Irish, too.
We were all persecuted.
The Irish, too. The Irish and Italians, you're allowed to make fun of them.
You're allowed to make fun of anybody you want.
Not if you want to continue your employment.
Let's not fall into this vortex here.
Not if you want to continue to be employed.
Why? You haven't lost your job yet.
I don't make fun of people.
Let's go to Menasee in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Hey, unless you count Patriots fans as an ethnicity. Go ahead, Melvin.
A couple of quick points. Yeah. Just kind of speaking to the kind of chance of the first round kind of repeat of playing somebody again, do you feel better playing like a Cincinnati versus like one of the new surging kind of, you know, the Steelers or the Ravens? That's my first question. The second one is, I think I remember this from last year, but Paul, I remember you saying that you feel like that the Patriots would beat the Seahawks last year if we got a chance to play them in the Super Bowl, and I feel like the teams kind of went down somewhat. I know they're playing well, but they're still, I think they're, I just felt like they were more beatable, you know, this year than they are last year. I just wanted to see your point on why do you feel more confident about, you know, or well, less confident this year about playing the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm sure that if you said that I said that they would have beaten the Seahawks last, I didn't think that they were going to beat the Broncos last year. So I don't know why I would have thought that, but I'm sure I said it. I don't feel like the Seahawks are any different this year than they were last year. I think they're going to end up with about, what, a game's difference in their record.
Right.
I think it's just hard. I think it's hard to continue to win. I think that's one of the things that's most impressive about the Patriots is that they play generally deep into January every year, and they bounce right back and they win 12 or 13 games the next year too. I think that's a hard thing to do. And Seattle found out this year that it's a little harder to keep winning. But I think in terms of their ability and their talents, they have everything that they did last year in terms of their ability to scare you. I think Seattle's a pretty good team. I don't think the Patriots would be unable to win that game, though. I don't want to paint it out to be that I think if they play Seattle in the Super Bowl, the Patriots will lose. I think Seattle's the best team in the NFC. That's why that would be the team I'd least like to see. And your first question, I'd rather see Cincinnati than Baltimore or Pittsburgh because I don't think Cincinnati's as good as Baltimore or Pittsburgh.
Wow. Okay, that's good. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks, Melvin.
Quick update over idiocy on the Twitter feed. A story on WCVB. At least three viewers have lodged complaints with the FCC against New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady over his reaction to a play during a recent game, November 30th, Packers, blah, blah, blah.
For God's sake.
So parents are complaining and lodging complaints with FCC.
That's unbelievable. And they do a story about that.
I would tell them to go F themselves.
Do you know people write letters all the time to the FCC complaining about a million different things? I just can't believe how people just attack Tom Brady. Just leave him alone.
Persecuted, I would say.
I was with him for a second there, and then he jumped ship.
Yeah. It's amazing to me how much people complain in general. Tom Brady's not one of those guys that gets complained about a lot, but in general...
I'll bet you the people that wrote those letters to the FCC didn't even watch the game. They just heard about it.
That is a possibility.
I think there's probably truth to that.
But what's the complaint?
Yeah, really? You know?
To the FCC.
You said a bad word. Okay, so if I hear somebody in the grocery store say it, do I complain to Shaw's? Or if I see somebody in traffic say it or on the bus, do I complain to the MBTA? You're a parent. How about you parent your kid and say, that word you just heard is not appropriate for somebody of your age or for everyday life, blah, blah, blah. It's just like I think Paul can use it and tell his kids, you don't use that. I'm an adult. There's things I do in this world that kids don't do, shouldn't be a part of.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
I mean,
it's taking the place of parenting.
What if, a parent, watches a soap opera like we were watching the other day and there's some makeout scene, regardless of the sexes, by the way, man, woman, man, girl, girl, which are everywhere today in soap operas, but that's a different topic.
A lot of man.
Now, if I come home.
Danny gets very excited.
No, but listen, if I come home and my 4-year-old is making out with his, friend next door, do I blame CBS? Because he saw on TV two people making out. That shouldn't be on it. Be a parent. It's not the FCC's job to parent for you. Be a freaking parent.
Dan in San Antonio writes in, remember when Eric picked the Bears to beat us at Gillette because they're going to be pissed off coming into that game? Man, that seemed like yesterday.
That's funnier than me saying the Patriots were going to beat Seattle last year.
I actually feel, my brother-in-law is from Chicago. I don't know how you're a Bears fan.
That was probably one of the worst played games I've ever seen last
night. Yeah, I thought the Saints were just as bad.
Right.
I clicked it on a little bit early, and there was a sequence where Breeze got a snap, took about two steps back, and dropped the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Then
I saw that.
Then there was a delay of game. They had to call a timeout. It's one of those, the play clock was running out. Then they ended up lining up for a field goal. The holder dropped the ball.
There was offsetting
penalties on it. And they started talking. These are like the first three plays of the game that I had seen. And they started talking that Nick Toon fumbled inside the five early in the game. They allowed a couple of long screen passes, and Mike Tirico just said, it's just been an overall poorly played game. He called it it's just been bad ball, I think he said. And I was like, yeah, it certainly looks that way, and I think it's been a bad season.
I think the football has been bad this season. Took back-to-back sacks, one of which on a screen pass, where the guy he was throwing the screen
to, that.
And he just held on to it.
And Gruden ripped him for not throwing the ball to the ground.
And then I saw people tweeting, wow, Jay Cutler's done something no one else has been able to do. He's gotten Jay Gruden to criticize somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it's horrific. I didn't see it, but I guess they ran a fake punt with only 12 guys on the field. I mean, 10 guys on the field.
Yeah,
that's horrific.
They got stopped like a blade of grass short, too.
I mean, they should have just walked Trestman off the field at that point and just said,
I told you he shouldn't be a coach.
Yeah.
You didn't listen to me.
No, you're right. You were right. He's just not made
the
out.
The problem with that assessment.
Shut up. You will shut your
is
mouth.
You look at him and say he can't coach. Right.
When was the last time I was wrong?
Oh, God.
I don't know, because you moved the line.
No,
all
I mean
the time.
On those assessments.
Like you told me Jerry Reese would never have any success, and then he won the Super Bowl.
And look at the Giants team.
Again.
Lacking talent.
So you're going to say you were right. So no matter what happens, you're right.
Jerry Reese is the one hole in my swing.
The world will end someday.
But there's not really been a lot of guys.
I do.
There's not really been a lot of guys based on looks that you make that determination.
Oh, yeah. I didn't care for Gary Kubiak's leather coat when he strutted through a decade ago or whenever the hell that was. I didn't care. I mean, a lot of them.
But he wasn't terrible.
And I'll be honest. You know who I didn't like? And I whispered it because, you know, I like him. I said, Josh McDaniels doesn't look like he's ready to run a team when he's up there. And he wasn't. Right?
Okay.
So I was right on most of them.
Comportment. It's important.
You need to.
He was right on most of them.
I am.
Just ask him.
I was right on Joe Philbin. You defended him. Oh, you know he coached at Northeastern, so you're going to give him a chance.
I didn't defend him. I just said I like him because he coached at Northeastern.
This is not a dictatorship, Don. And we're all on board here, and I'm not by no means the dictator.
Yeah, you are, actually. Like, what are you talking about, you clown?
Okay. Hey, John Rook's here with the playbook. Hey, John.
Again, if you had said the reason Joe Philbin can't be successful is because he thinks that it's not a dictatorship. He's not in charge.
I did say that.
Okay, that's a valid reason.
I said
reason.
That after Hard Knocks, the first episode.
You said Mark Trestman won't succeed because I don't like his glasses, and I don't like the way he looks.
I so love sitting in between these two guys. This is just awesome.
You don't see the difference between saying both of those guys?
I never know exactly.
Spittle flying all over the place, hitting me on the side of the head.
Oh, yeah.
My ears are bleeding. Eardrums are bursting.
I had to do 2 hours of it, actually. No. It's usually Andy yelling at me.
The boo-hoo Big 12 crew over here now.
Boo-hoo Big 12 crew? What's that mean?
Big 12 didn't get any respect.
They didn't deserve it.
That's right.
I'm aware of that. I'm glad you finally came around to it.
Came around to it. No,
I thought it was an ESPN conspiracy.
No, well,
the SEC.
It is slightly. It is slightly.
And we're back.
I mean, it is slightly. I mean, they do have a monetary interest. That's kind of hard to ignore.
Well, that and the best teams. Yeah, they have a monetary interest in having the best teams on the biggest platform.
How can TCU be ranked third 1 week, win 55-3, and drop three spots? Explain.
Other teams had more impressive wins.
Bull.
You don't think Ohio
State should have been? They should have been third then.
But you don't think Ohio State vaulted itself over those teams based on what they did in the Big Ten?
Over a weak Wisconsin team.
A weak Wisconsin team, as opposed to a powerhouse Iowa State that TCU beat.
All I'm listen.
Wisconsin,
you know where the Big 12 really hurt themselves?
With their third quarterback, they won 59-0 in the conference.
And I will agree was
that's
favored
a,
in
that's
that
impressive.
Game.
However, no, they weren't.
Thanks, John.
I'm pretty sure they were favored.
They weren't.
Because they were saying it was the greatest cover in history or whatever because
they're covered by 62 points.
Right.
Well, I don't know what Wisconsin team we were looking at, but I thought they were terrible this year. The Big 12 lost it when they didn't play their conference championship game.
Right.
That's where they
lost. I don't understand how that helps.
Were they not allowed to? They did not have enough
they
teams.
They don't have enough teams.
They got 10 teams.
I didn't know that.
I don't understand
why
that's such a big difference. Because, like, if Missouri had pulled off that win.
Strength of schedule. It's strength of schedule. Because you know you're going up against a quality opponent. The strength of schedule issue.
And for them, it also has a clear candidate.
But is the Big 12 that good a conference where you're always going to go up against a good opponent?
They had the fifth and sixth ranked teams.
Yeah, was Missouri that good that Alabama proved anything by beating them in the SEC?
Not really.
No, but Alabama is different than the Big 12.
Right.
Alabama exists in
the premier conference. I mean, I know it's all, perpetrating a fraud by ESPN, but
propaganda.
The SEC is the best conference in the league, in the country.
Yes.
The Big 12 isn't. They needed another thing to show
they could use,
these teams can play.
If they
and when you had
the
fifth and sixth
game,
place team, that might have been enough to push them over the top.
It might have been. That's absolutely true.
All right. I got to go to the bathroom. We got to film TV.
I
got to
go to the bathroom.
John's up next with Playbook and then the Fantasy at 4. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.